This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
And then somebody on Tuesday when I went back to work was like, hey, I saw somebody wearing like a shirt and it had your name on it. Was that you? And I was like, yeah.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team. KYT.
He looks at me, are you a pro?
Not really, I just have a website.
Then he goes, is it a pro website?
Jay Boosh.
They're like, holy fuck, we're both over here, man. We both can't be over here, man.
Scotty.
Like, I stared him right in the face. I'm like, I'm only here for the buys. He's like, so you only want the buys? I'm like, once again, I am only here for the buys.
And introducing the new guy.
The genius deck designers, they come up with the same ideas I do. It's just they're smart enough to know that they're shit before they talk about them.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 140 of the A-Team podcast. Mr. Scotty Mack here in the house, joined by one Mr. KYT.
Hey.
GP Badass himself. How you doing, buddy?
Very good, very good. Very excited.
Nice. So it looks like Jay's starting a little late tonight. Beans isn't home yet, so he's still out doing his manly things. But that's okay. Because we are joined this evening by one very special individual, Mr. CL Smooth himself.
Oh, yes. Chris, CL Smooth.
Chris Lansdell, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my god!
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god! Oh my god, oh my god! I want to thank the Academy and Jesus and Chris Brown and, smoother than sandpaper.
Yeah. So as you guys know, we have been, like, dropping all of these hints for you all week about who the mysterious fourth member of the A-Team is. And I know you guys have all been waiting. And so, like, we wanted to kind of, like, go through them and make sure that we covered them all off because we wanted to let you guys know how it all fit in. Okay? So the first one was KYT tweeted, like, may or may not have judged on Friday at GP Calgary. Chris, were you judging on Friday at GP Calgary?
You know, I actually was judging on Friday, GP Calgary.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Now, there's another one. Is a dad. Is an MTG dad.
I think that's pretty much common knowledge, yeah. Definitely, yeah. MTG dad.
You have a son, Andrew, that plays Magic with you.
He does.
Yeah. So you were obviously at GP Calgary.
I was.
The other one was you were also at GP Toronto, if people that were there remember.
Yep. I was there, too.
Now, while you were at GP Toronto, the one hint that I thought KYT did amazing at was responsible for getting KYT a warning at GP Toronto.
Yep. Because he was a savage cheat.
So what happened in that moment? Like, share this with me.
I think he cast, like, a Geist Descent Draft with only one blue-white source.
Fuck you. Yeah, that was right. Howled Fountain.
Cheating bastard.
One of the few warnings I've ever had in GPs was given to me by Chris, yeah.
Okay. There's another one that we just put out on the Twitter sphere, which was, has been seen at a feature match table on GP coverage.
A couple times, at Quebec City, at Vancouver, and I think I might have been on another one, but those are the two that spring to mind.
Nice.
Well, Scott, I just want to say one thing, and I've been... Really, I just want to know people want to know what CL Smooth stands for because a lot of people were confused.
Yeah.
So Chris, why are you called CL Smooth?
Apparently, he used to be a rapper. This name was given to me when I worked at a bank. because there were three Chris's and we all needed nicknames, and they just said, all right, you're CL Smooth. I'm like, why? And then this woman walked in, and then I realized why I was CL Smooth. It's with the ladies.
Nice. So there you go. So, was that? Oh, wait, hold on. So there was one more. Oh, yeah, that's right. There was one I put out like 2 days ago. Chris, have you won $1,000 playing Magic together?
I'd say probably cumulatively, easily $1,000, sure.
Nice. Oh, wait. Was it all at once? Like at one time? Like, have you won at least $1,000 at one time?
No.
Oh. Okay. What? What is that?
What was that noise?
Is there somebody here?
Hey, guys. KYG, Scotty, what's going on?
Oh, my God, Jeremy. What's going on? Jeremy Schofield, holy shit.
Hey. Chris. How's it going, man?
Who asked you in?
What are you doing in my fucking chair? Fuck out of here. Adults are talking.
This is my chair.
Fuck, no, it isn't. Get out.
But KYT said I could be on his show.
Chris, okay, hold on. Jeremy.
Yeah. What's going on here, Matt?
Were you judging on Friday at GP Calgary?
Hell yeah.
Are you a
you
dad?
You call it judging.
Yeah.
You're recently a dad, right?
I am very recently a dad.
And you obviously were in Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
And you were also in Toronto.
In mind, but not body, in the sense that I was just shitbagged and couldn't play Magic. So, like, yeah.
Yeah. So there was another one. So was responsible for getting KYT a warning at GP Toronto?
Yeah, I saw him tap the hallowed fountain to produce white and blue and called over Mr. Lansdale.
Oh.
Yeah, that was on me, actually.
Oh, the sniper eyes! And if I'm not mistaken, you won second place at GP Vancouver.
First loser.
Which would have bagged you at least $1,300, if I'm not mistaken, for that placing?
Closer to $2,000, somewhere around there.
Ooh, in one shot. Yeah.
In one shot, no less.
Yeah.
And very clearly, all of this occurred at the feature match table.
Yeah, absolutely. Lansdale, I think, kicked out the cord. That's why you can't find it on YouTube.
Oh,
I'll never prove it in court.
Chris, man, I'm really sorry. I think I messed this one up. You gotta go, bro.
I'm sorry, CL Smooth.
I'm sorry, buddy.
I've you all this time. I'm sorry.
That's cutting.
I don't know what the Smooth part is, but the CLS is Can't Lose Schofield, so get out.
Scotty will always have Chandra.
I know we will. All right, buddy. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, fuck you guys.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Well,
hello,
Jeremy, man, like, how's it going?
It's going good, man. Today's a good day. It's a good week.
Oh, man, that was horrible. CL Smooth, man. Kept hashtagging it, and got a lot of people hoping.
So for those of you that are now realizing how chumped you are, Jeremy Schofield is indeed the official fourth member of the AT podcast.
Number four.
Welcome.
Welcome, Jeremy.
I am so stoked to be here. Like, this show just rocks. This is the first podcast I was on after Vancouver, and it was so much fun. I think it was like when we first talked about the Booze Cube, like when it first came out, I think was that episode. So, like, we just talked about Booze Cube all night.
Nice.
Yeah, Medina took a shot at me and then just like disappeared from the call, so it was pretty cool. And now he asked me at that time there, like, are you one of those players who got lucky and thinks they're good, or what's the case? All I know is I'm still here. So I don't know where you are, but I'm still here. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, Jeremy's still playing Magic.
Yeah. For at least the next 40 episodes.
Nice.
To me, my first impression of you is you were the guy that got the Chapin lessons. That was my impression of you. That was like,
you know what? I never actually took him up on that.
Really?
Really? I just supported the Magic Cruise, which I understand there's some sort of story there too, but I'll leave that for a later date, I guess.
Yeah, we've got like all these stories and all this time. Hey, Jay, man, you're here.
Hello, what did I miss?
Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
We were just welcoming our newest member.
What's happening?
Oh, it's good, man. It's good.
It's all good. Everything's good.
Oh, it's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful week.
It's a beautiful day. Well, we all had a beautiful week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Because we spent most of it in Calgary at the Grand Prix.
I don't think I've ever really been excited to be in Calgary.
You know, I think that's the reason there's never been a GP in Edmonton, I think.
Yeah, it's just too much going on up here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the sympathy, it's like, oh, bring the GP, we'll flood and get ourselves on the news. You know, like all these things to try and bring in the extra attention, and it's all good.
It works.
Nice. So the party, so Calgary was awesome.
It was
KYT,
awesome.
Yeah, like you missed out on one of the most amazing weekends ever.
I wouldn't doubt it.
The party was really, really amazing. Like really, really, really amazing.
So good.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but like the parties that I, you know, directly handle go really well.
Jay was an absolute badass. He was just crushing fools all day.
All day.
Fuck yeah. So okay, so we're gonna get through this. Like I know KYT's got like a whole ton of questions, I want you to like shoot them in as we tell the story.
Sure.
Like I wrote my tournament report on legit MTG for like how my main event went, like round by round. So I'm actually gonna spare you from it. I'm gonna make everyone go and read it. But what I want to do is kind of go through how it all went down, landing, all of the like behind the scenes stuff that didn't involve me actually playing Magic. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to give you guys the opportunity to talk about your tournament experience. Does that work?
I think that's great.
KYT, are you okay with that?
Perfect.
Sweet. This is why we get Jeremy on, because he agrees with us.
Absolutely. I am the fourth yes man.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Because, like, you know, John just had this tendency to sometimes just argue for the sake of it. And we don't want to tell
a story. Holy.
Holy crap. Actually, yeah, which reminds me. So I'd like to welcome all of our new listeners to the show.
Hello.
You know, all of you that are sitting around, going to listen to this episode and try to find something else. Yeah.
Take notes.
Write down
last week, guys, just so you know. I wasn't here last week.
He was busy at the women-hating festival.
Yeah. So don't, don't forget, make sure you take down our quotations out of context.
Yeah.
Make sure that you, you post them wherever you can. But most importantly, you know, I'm sure, I'm 100% sure that we're going to find something that you're going to hate. So just stay tuned because it'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the rest of you go, the rest of you that showed your love, showed your support, and stood by the show because you understood what it was that we were trying to do last week, thank you. We love you. And we will continue to do what we do because of you. So that's all I want to say about that.
Beautiful, man.
Amen.
how old are you, Jeremy?
31.
Oh shit.
Fuck, we got another old guy.
I know. Holy man.
Fuck,
he's got kids too. You know that means KYT, you're gonna have to be a little bit more vocal because now it's 2-1.
KYT 30. Be vocal?
We should have him do like a solo podcast, and then
we have two new hosts.
Yeah.
Seriously, get like a 200 like or a 2-hour podcast if you like just went through and took all of like KYT's speaking bits from like all the episodes leading
it
up to now.
Cool,
might be able to fit one episode.
I think they'd all be pertinent too, because they would all just be like, and also, wow.
A lot of people like my whoa.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
could get Kyle to make a soundboard of you in case you ever have to miss the show.
Oh man, we should do that.
And some of my memes.
Exactly.
Then we can just get rid of you, and then we can reap the rewards
and get
that's one
back.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. So yeah, so the party was sweet, but like even sweeter was getting into town on Thursday. So I get to leave my office. I go in for a midday. I actually leave a little bit late, so I'm really only there for like an hour and a half. I show up to the airport. I jump on my plane, no problems, in and out very quickly. Land. Flight got delayed a little bit. No big deal. I'm sitting in the lobby, waiting for my flight to leave, like in the boarding zone, and I'm like messaging with Dan and Jason and Chris, you know, trying to get like last minute sideboard stuff. And I'm like throwing all the notes off Willie Edel and like just to make sure like everything's all, you know, above board and valid and getting really ready. And I was feeling really, really good about the GP. Like the deck has been doing very well for me. I feel really comfortable with it. Like I was really, really just prepared, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So jump on the plane. I fly out there. I watch Iron Man on the plane, you know, because like I'm on my tablet doing whatever else and just kind of chilling out. I'm like goldfishing hands, you know, on the flight. And that's pretty cool. And so I land. And I'm like, I call the wife, call the baby. The baby's just going to bed, and everything's awesome. And then, of course, I just like hang up the phone. I'm standing there waiting for my luggage, and I turn around, and there's Jay and Beans, sitting right there.
Ding,
ding. And like hugs all around. And you know, Elena's like, oh, tell Jay and Beans to say hi. We're like, okay. So we do all that, pick up my stuff, and then I get taken to this truck. And for those of you that don't know. Jay's truck looks like Christmas.
What?
Jay's truck looks like Christmas. And what I mean by that is it's like a big red sled-like pickup truck. It's old, beat up.
Like a submarine.
This character. And this really big, clearly picked from the junkyard and put on back of it, green cover for the bed.
Wow. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Like I said, it looks like Christmas. And who doesn't fucking love Christmas? Happy Hanukkah. So we end up getting into the truck, and I, you know, try to offer Beans the front seat, and she basically tells me to go fuck myself. So that's cool. I'm down with that. I know I'm gonna like this girl already. And so we hop in, and they're like, "So what do you want to do? Where do you want to go?" I'm like, "I don't care. I just need to eat." And they're like, "Okay. So like, do you want to go and sit down?" I'm like, "I don't care." I'm like, how quickly can we eat?
Yeah, it was, like, so fucking annoying.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't care. I just need to eat. You guys have to understand.
Who was fucking annoying, Jay?
Scott.
Oh, I was.
This old man.
Yeah. Can't make up his fucking mind.
Like, where do you want to eat? And he's like, I don't care. And then I was like, I fucking know you care, because last week we had an email, and I said, let's go for Vietnamese, which is, like, the best food on the planet. And you said, I don't like Vietnamese. And now you're saying you don't care. I'm taking you for fucking Vietnamese then.
But you didn't take me for Vietnamese, did you?
Fuck!
Oh,
no. I love Vietnamese.
It's the best KYT. I had it tonight, and I'm having it tomorrow for lunch. Fuck yeah, Vietnamese.
So Jay ends up taking me to McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah. Classic.
What a great. Well, yeah, like Vietnamese and McDonald's.
Hey,
yeah.
Everyone knows Calgary McDonald's is like a step up.
That's true. It is.
It isn't. It really. No, it isn't.
I think Scott was making smells that I don't even think a chemist could reproduce.
Yeah. But that wasn't after McDonald's, though. That was on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on Sunday. After everything on Sunday. Anyways, it's fine. So we had McDonald's. And then we get home, and we eat the McDonald's, and we hang out for a little bit, and then I guess it's time to podcast? Yeah. So then we podcast for 3 hours.
That was sweet. It didn't feel like 3 hours, no, that's for sure.
I know. And I did like 4 strong bows over the course of the night or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I was doing fine. We were doing fine. Felt good.
Yeah.
And then the show was over and then we went to bed. So Friday we wake up fucking early. Oh yeah. My God. Well, which really wasn't that early for me, because it's like 2 hours behind, so it's kind of like sleeping in for me, which is awesome. And then we ended up going to the venue really early, and we all
got
in
there at like 9.
Yeah, and it didn't open until like 12
noon.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So thankfully, I was wearing my face-to-face game shirt, you know, because that's like a VIP pass everywhere in the Magic World of Canada.
Basically.
Yeah. So we kind of got let in, and we saw Jason.
Oh, you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, and still don't have a face-to-face fucking.
He could have just asked Sal.
I did, and he said, "What size are you?" And I said, "I don't know, 2X, 3X. I've lost like 45 pounds. So, like, it's probably a 3X and like a tight 2X. I don't know." And he's like, "Well, I don't have any of those. I'm a 3X. And he's got like this gravelly voice.
He talks like that.
I can't really do it, but he's got like this gravelly voice, but he talks really like up and down, like volume. And then he's also really short and really quick, right? He's like, and then you're like, "What?" But you don't want to say what, because it'll hit you. And I'm like a 3X. Give me a 3X. He's like, "Oh, I don't have any of those. You want the one from off of my buddy?" And I'm like, "Sure." He's like, "I'm really hairy." I'm like, "Hey, that's perfect, because I'm not hairy at all, which means I'll put it on and all your hair will be on my belly. Perfect." And he goes, "Ha ha 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 ha, oh, you fucker."
Last bit sounds like
this actually happened. The exchange was remarkably like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have a face-to-face shirt, so I did not. I was just hanging on the coattails. Everybody was like, "Oh, Scotty, look at the Scotty guy." And I was just sitting back, just fucking, hey.
Now, you had King of the North shirt. You were rocking that.
Yeah, but nobody even was reading that.
What?
It was like my subjects are illiterate or something. I got to get somebody on that.
Yeah.
RTFS. Yeah,
I had somebody tell me on Monday, on Tuesday, when I went back to work, they were like, because I had a thread on Reddit going, right? Because I love Reddit. And I was like, on Friday or something, or on, I guess it was Wednesday, because I took Thursday, Friday off. Yeah. So like Wednesday or something, I was like, "Hey, is anybody going to the GP? Come say hi. And what are you guys going to play? And then let's all have fun. Woo." And then somebody on Tuesday, when I went back to work, was like, "Hey, I saw somebody wearing like a shirt and it had your name on it. Was that you?" And I was like, "Yeah, it was." "Why didn't you come say hi?" He's like, "Oh, I didn't know if it was you." I was like, yeah, that's true, I guess. Who knows? So there you have it. You got to wear the face-to-face shirt. You got to be the Scotty Mac. Everybody knew who he was.
Everybody knew who Scotty Mac was. Yeah. And so we sit there, and we're so fucking early. And we're at the face table, and like even face-to-face games isn't there. So So Jay takes the opportunity to teach me how to play Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because it's the best.
So I was so depressed. I brought all of my stuff in my suitcase, and I got home, and I'm unpacking my suitcase, and I got like the little like single tear going down my cheek, because it's like, I've got all this stuff and nobody to play it with.
Aww. Yeah, I forgot you said you were going to bring yours, and then we never played.
Oh, yeah, daggers. All down,
man. Just like,
you never brought it up. You never brought it up.
You know what? I was so hungover on Sunday. Like,
oh, my God.
It was terrible.
It was bad news.
Oh, man. Continue the story.
Yeah. And feel free to ask questions and interject at any time, KYT.
Sure.
So we need like a KYT clock, you know, like if we haven't heard it, like
ding,
it's like
yeah, 120 seconds or something like that. Yeah. We have to like, and how do you feel about this, KYT?
And then clock him. Just ding.
As the 18th fourth member, I promise the listeners that I will get that man to talk more. That is my commitment to you.
That's a pretty good commitment.
It is pretty good. Yeah.
That's a tall order. If you fail, you're out.
It's like your campaign promise. You fail at your first campaign promise, you're fucking out.
Yeah, that's right.
So Scott, was the game really that good?
So here's the thing. Like,
the game is awesome.
Okay, so here's the thing.
True.
If I was there, I'd totally be high-fiving Jay right
now. My opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter.
True.
It was it was surprisingly easy to learn. Like, I thought it would be way more complex. Like, I've seen so many people play Warhammer, and I just watch them play, and I'm just like, why are you doing this? Like, I just don't understand. It looks like self-flagellation and masturbation with miniatures. I'm just like, why are you doing this? But, like, Star Wars seemed really easy. At first, when you kind of go through the explanation of the game, movement sounds unintuitive. But then when you actually play it, and you sort of execute the rules and execute the movements, it's pretty sweet. Like, the game is definitely a lot of fun. And, like, I can see, after watching a couple of games over the course of the weekend, how cool it can be. Because Jay started out with, like, the most extremely basic way to play. And then on Saturday night, I watched him play basically, like, 2-on-1. So he was the one versus
Lewis and
Jason Clef.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and in watching that, it was really sweet because I got to see sort of like from a bird's eye view, a lot more about how the strategy works and how to, you know, how to play the game at a little bit of a higher level. And that was still like on easy mode, you know, like that's not even counting, you know, playing with upgrades and all sorts of different ships and like fleets and all of that shit. So like, then I started to kind of like look through some of the other ships and some of the other pilots and some of the other abilities. And I was just like, holy shit balls. This game can be rebonkulous. And it's pretty cool. It is the best way I've explained it is like Star Wars is to Warhammer as Yu-Gi-Oh is to Magic. And that is to say that it's almost like a simpler version that can still be just as much fun.
Okay. Wow.
So it's pretty cool.
I see all those thousand numbers on the Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and it really feels like they're overcompensating for something.
Maybe 100%.
Like, I attack for 2, and then some Yu-Gi-Oh guy's like, yeah, I damage you for 1 billion. I'm like, fuck.
I'll hit you for over 9,000.
Yeah. Like, the life pads have to be so much bigger just to fit all the zeros.
Yeah, and like, everybody's just writing down ones, and like, why'd you write a 1 down? Like, oh, that's for 1,000.
Yeah.
No, it's a great game. It's based off their Wings of War thing, and like they had that game going forever. So I had picked that up before, and then I saw what they're doing with this. And yeah, the game's just like, it's simple, but it's also very complex. And like, it's funny because like if you play like a sample game with like no asteroids or anything like that, you kind of go like, oh god, this is gonna get repetitive. But like once you put debris that you can fly into, like the game's just so much else. Like, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I just want to play some.
Yeah, it's
gonna go and play some X-Wing right now. I'll be back, guys.
See you later.
We'll get Chris back.
Hey.
What like totally sold me, I think, was that like I was watching Jay, and so Jay had received a present from Face to Face Games.
Yeah,
gave him like a wedding
present. Walks in the door and they're like, hey, we brought this for you. And like, oh,
sounds about a weird voice again.
Yeah, so there, and then I'm like, oh, sweet, what'd they bring me? They brought me an A-Wing and a TIE Interceptor and also the fucking Slave One.
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 So, yeah. Slave One is obviously Boba Fett's ship for you Trekkies out there that don't understand what we're talking about. And so it was actually what made me very excited was this Slave One ship. Because, A, it looks fucking awesome. Like, I'm just looking at it in the package, and it looks so wicked. And then like, we get it home, and we open it up, and I start looking at, you know, like, the ship and what it could do, and I'm looking at the pilots, and I'm like, and, like, partway through the night, I just, like, I hand this pilot card to Jay, and I hold it up, and I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, what he can do with the abilities of the pilots, like, this is game breaking. And Jay looks at me and goes, yeah, I know. I played it before. And I'm like, well, fuck you then.
Yeah, like, you're breaking some new ground here, Copernicus.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that moment because I've actually got like a Falcon and a Slave all like shrunk wrapped still next to me. I've got A-Wings and
Titans.
It's all just like still
what
wrapped
a noob.
Up. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Ship some people up here.
Yeah. Slave One's really cool. So like it can like shoot forward and backwards, like it's got firing arcs front and back, and like so the ship itself is cool, and then you get into the pilots and they're retarded, and so I got really excited. And so the game looks like it can be very, very good. Like it's not just like a training wheels kids game. once you get into the full game, it seems pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend. So yeah, Star Wars is legit.
There you go, KYT. There's your answer.
Okay, okay. So you were waiting for FaZe to get in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they show up, and we start working to help them set up, and we start working on putting together life pads and all that fun stuff. So we do a bunch of, like, monkey work, bitch work, get the booth set up, and everything's fine.
Oh, yeah, we folded, like, 1,000 flyers.
Bitch work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were bitches. We were the bitches.
Yeah, lay bitches.
Sal is, like, Sal's, like, the big dog.
Yeah.
Sal's the big dog in face-to-face.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. So we sit down, and we get everything all set up, and then we sit down, and we're given, like, our own table, stacks of tokens, and all sorts of shit, and, like, markers, and life pads, and all that crap to give out. It's, like, noon, people are starting to come in, and Jay's like, oh, okay, he wants to do anti-league, or whatever, but nobody has basic lands, because you're on-site at a GP, and nobody needs basic lands, and I guess the land stations hadn't come out yet, from the judges and such. So he has to go and try to find basic lands. So he like hops in the car, says, I'm going to go to a store real quick, and is gone for like 4 fucking hours.
You fucker. What did you do? Go get Vietnamese?
basically what I did was my friend ate, like we were going to go to a store, but then like I'd have to basically find and sort my own like land from there. So my friend Adrian, I was like, I talked to Peter Sackless, who is one of the face-to-face all-star pros. And I was like, hey, if I can find some basic lands, can you buy them? Like, what can you do for this guy or whatever? And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll buy them for, like, I don't know, 5 cents a land, 4 cents a land. So we went to Adrian's house, which is, like, basically in Edmonton, and got, like, 2,000 land for Anti-League set up. And thank God we did, because if we didn't, then Alex Hain wouldn't have lost his entire anti-league deck to me because he's terrible and burned all his bad luck, and then he would have lost the GP.
Yeah. So we decide to get some anti-league going. Jay comes back, and he comes back with pizza. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But while you were gone, Kyle Weavers stops by.
The Weave End.
And so, like, I'd never actually met Kyle Weavers. We talked a lot on Facebook and such.
On, like, Twitter and shit.
We never actually met. So he sat down, and he's like, hey, Scotty, how's it going? Kyle Weavers. And I'm like, oh, my God! Like, I know you! You know? And we just got to talking, and we just sat and, like, shot the shit for probably, like, 40 minutes or something. It was literally awesome. So it was pretty cool. It was really nice to be able to get the chance to, he's a very cool guy. So it was really nice to be able to, like, sit down and just kind of chat with him and just hang out. He's not really playing a lot of Magic, so it was just really like an adult conversation, and it was nice to catch up with a bud. So that made me happy.
That's cool. I didn't know you guys did that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So that was that. I signed a few tokens, and I helped out at the booth, and I sold a bunch of shit, and then you came back, and we started Anti-League.
Sounds about right.
So I decided to go Anti-League, and I'm like, all right, so I got to pick 3 packs. And everyone said, so we were talking about it the night before, and I'm like, okay, so 3 packs for Anti-League.
Like, Scotty's obviously not read the number one article on manadeprived.com.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, so I want mana fixing, but I want bombs, but I want this and I want that. So I'm like, I can open like a Dragon's Maze, and I'll just open like one each of the Ravnica block, and it'll be fine. Jay's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean, no? He's like, they all have to be from different, they have to be different sets. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I'll just get like 2 Dragon's Maze and a Corset. He's like, no, they have to be all from different sets. I'm like, okay, so I'll just get like a Gatecrash and a Dragon's Maze and a Corset. He's like, no, they also have to be from different blocks. And I'm like, your format is broken and I hate it.
Yeah, he's like, this is the dumbest format of all time.
So,
like, why can't he just buy any pack so that he can eventually draw penises on cards?
I know!
What is wrong with this?
Why are there so many rules? This is so retarded.
There's gotta be rules. There's gotta be structure. You gotta have structure. It builds character.
So I'm like, fine.
All shaft head.
Yeah. Like, so I'm like, fine, fuck you, I don't care. And I was just like, not going to do it. And then he goes to all this trouble to get these basic lands, and I'm just so angry that I need to, like, take a deck and smash him in the face with it. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I'll just get, like, M14, and I'll get Modern Masters, because I'm a baller, and, oh, look, is that Shadowmoor with, like, infinite hybrid cards? I'll take that, too. You know?
Yeah, it's a pretty good combo, actually.
Yeah, it worked out fairly well, because, like, Modern Masters is full of bombs, man.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and there were so many. So, I mean, my deck was okay. I opened a Chalice of the Void, which is fucking terrible. But I had, like, a Marsh Flitter, which was good, and I had a Pestermite, and I had a few other cards which were okay. There's the one, what is that? There's a card that does, it's, like, red and three, and you pick three non-creature permanents, and then you destroy one at random.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it's called, but it's, yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, it's, like, red three. Red three. It was a card. I had it in my deck, and it was pretty good. And I used it to destroy a lot of lands. It was good. And in this format, being able to, like, screw people out of colors happens regularly.
It's a big deal, yeah.
It's big game. So, yeah, so it was pretty good. I had, like, a giant baiting in my deck, and I had the capacity to go fairly aggro. I also had Court Homunculus and some Ethereum Sculptors and stuff, so I was able to get there fairly quickly. Anyways, the deck was fine. I won a couple matches. I won a few cards. I lost a few cards, and I drew a few dicks. And I drew a few dicks. I drew a few vaginas. I did do that.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like like negate, for example, when you turn it sideways and you black out the outside, can really look like a vagina. So things like that. but it was good. Like I had a good time, and. So that was pretty cool. And then I ended up playing, I guess, against... who did I play against? Somebody else came by for Anti-League, and I played for Pink Slips, because I had, like, lost a ton of games and signed over a whole bunch of my deck, and I basically had bullshit left anyway. So I ended up signing over, like, probably 43 cards by the time everything's all said and done.
Wow.
And, like, signed them all, and it took forever, and that, like, got me out of Anti-League. But what's awesome is that Jay actually played... against, like, a whole ton of people. And Jay's Anti-League deck, by the way, fills a fat pack.
Like, unsleeved.
Just this tower of cards.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So how do you shuffle that shit?
In piles.
Like, isn't it, like, fucking annoying?
Yeah, kind of. I just, like, half-ass it a lot of the time.
You've never watched someone shuffle Battle of Wits? It's always half-assed. Yeah, like that. I'll just cut it a few ways, and that'll be good.
Yeah, whatever. You shuffle it. You randomize it. You maintain the game state.
Yeah. So Jay's Anti-League deck is enormous. And, I mean, you want to talk about overcompensating. But, like, the deck's huge. That said, I mean, he's pretty adept with it. So, I mean, when you're wielding that much deck,
yeah, you should have listened to Alex Hain just whining about the size of it all weekend. Holy cow!
Why?
So, okay,
he's like, of course you draw the nuts. No one could beat you with your stupid Anti-League deck. Oh yeah, Ethereal Armor with all your enchantments. I was like, just preparing for the weekend. That's all.
So you played against Alex a lot.
Yeah. Alex would not let it rest. He was like, Peter Sackless, let's play a game. And then he just crushed Peter Sackless because Peter is, I don't know how he even day two. That was ridiculous. And then he played against me and just lost like five straight games. I think I have two Jeweled Birds in my Anti-League deck. And so the first game we're antiing and I just like anti my Jeweled Bird and I'm like, whatever. And then I lose that. And then he loses and I get my Jeweled Bird back because he, you know, got it back or like got me with it or whatever. Right. And then the Jeweled Bird has now changed hands like twice or whatever. And then
Jeweled Bird, by the way, Jeweled Bird, for those of you at home, exchanges itself for all of your anti. So
yeah, it's one mana. It's a one mana artifact. It has tap, draw a card, put exchange Jeweled Bird for your anti. So when you anti 10 cards, you just draw a card with Jeweled Bird, and then now you're just anting Jeweled Bird.
Wow.
Yeah, so that changed hands about four times back and forth between me and Alex. And then finally Alex was like, fine, whatever. You want to do it for 40 cards? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it for 40 cards. And like, so what me and like Alex, in case you guys don't know, because Alex is like the sweetest, awesomest, most coolest guy. But just in case you didn't know, he is also a super degenerate gambler.
Yeah, I was going to say. Like,
That guy is gonna game his child's birth. Like he games anything and everything. That guy.
He'd be like, "I roll for $100."
Yeah, he'll just be like, "Oh, you want to just roll for $20?"
Yeah, like, fucking guy.
No, I don't. Okay. And then so anyway, so he's like, so the way that we were anteing all weekend was I would roll a dice and then he would roll a dice and we would multiply the first dice by the second dice. And that's how many cards we would ante. So a couple times it was just like, whatever, you know, we anteed like a couple of cards. It was like, we'd get a five and then we'd get a two. It was like 10 cards. Who cares? Right.
You do know the dice that he brought with them were like rigged dice. They only.
Oh yeah. Six and oh five. Yeah. We were using my dice. That was the thing.
He bought them with me in our GP Vegas weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah. He tried to trick Frank in a bet. He's like, I'll bet. It was something weird where, like, Frank was eating, like, he had a sub or something. And he's like, I'd bet you $25, like, on the roll versus, like, your sandwich. And then he kept raising it. And then, like, Frank just was, like, I guess too hungry or too lazy, so he didn't accept. But, like, he was going to fool him into, like, using the trick dice.
Yeah, like, so the dice he has, one is a two and a five and one, or no. One is a two.
Two six.
One is always a two, and one is a six or a five. No.
One is fives, and then the other one's two and six. So it's three. Yeah. Twos, three sixes.
Yeah. So you always get 7 or 11.
Yeah.
Always. And so anyway, so he's like, yeah, we'll roll this dice, and then we'll multiply it by whatever the other dice is.
Oh, that fucker.
So like. So yeah, so then I was like, very quickly, I was like, we're not using your fucking dice, you ass. And then so we started using our own dice. And so a couple times, like I said, it was like we had a five here and we had a, you know, we had a seven there. And, you know, and then we hit, I think we rolled two dice. It was a six and a five. And then I rolled for the multiplier, which was like a four. And so that was sweet. And so we're like, whatever, we'll just ante 45 cards, no problem. I got this. And so we're playing. And of course, in my opening hand, I draw a contract from below, which is one black mana, draw 8 cards. And the first card you draw of the 8, you have to add to your ante. So you can't lose when you draw contract from below, unless you play it when you're dead on board, which is, you know, and you're, which is terrible. So I'm playing against Alex, and like, yeah, I was just like, I just ruined his day. And he's like, but at the end of the GP, he's like, man, thank God I lost all my bad luck when I played stupid anti-league with you, because otherwise I wouldn't have won. And I was like, yeah, that's a good thing. These are good things happening here. But he lost like 60 cards. Like he had a big deck.
He has a big deck.
He did, yeah, he did. But yeah. So that was really fun.
Now, also, it should be noted that Peter Sackless also lost his entire deck.
Yeah.
To Jay.
Peter Sackless is bad at Magic. I don't know what's going on. I'm starting the Anti-League Pro Tour League. Peter Sackless will never make it.
Poor Peter.
But
poor Peter.
What Peter is really good at...
Holy shit.
Our creative outlets.
Man, that guy should be an artist. I don't know what he's doing, like working under the slave driver or face-to-face games.
Oh, no.
Go there for all your cheap singles needs. Also, you get Star Wars from them. I mean, if there's any left, you can get Star Wars from them. I will be buying all the Star Wars.
I saw one at the store.
No, you didn't.
I was tempted to get it right there just because of your recommendation.
You should have.
You should. Yeah, you totally should. Just snap all that money.
It's
worth
it. Like, it's 100%. But yeah, so anyway, Peter Sackless lost his entire deck to me. And what did Peter Sackless do? He's like the greatest guy ever. He wrote a story about Bulbasaur on 47 cards.
Read it. Read the story.
It's too long. I'll read it and we'll do like an independent thing where I'll just like, I'll add it to the show notes as a bonus. But it's great. It's about Bulbasaur, and Bulbasaur gets lost, and then he's upset, and then he finds a girlfriend, and he's in love, he takes her on a date and shit, and it's like, wow, Bulbasaur is going all out. And then, holy man, Bulbasaur just was having some bad luck. His dad was not having a good time with him. He's giving him shit and giving him the biscuits, man. It was a good story.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It was really good. I'll read it for sure.
I was like in tears trying to read the story. It was very good.
Just howling. I couldn't even handle it.
You couldn't even handle it.
Yeah, it was very good. So we end up getting into the end of the day, and I decide that I'm gonna try my luck at a grinder. So, because like I figured that buys are probably good. So I register myself in a grinder, and it's like 5. And so the first round starts, and I'm about getting ready, and I look at Jay, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to play in this grinder. And he goes, yeah, it's like almost 6, and we have reservations for 7, remember?
Oh, my God, yeah, I felt bad.
And I'm like, oh.
The whole day was gone. The whole day had
the whole day
gone.
Just run away. Like, we were fucking playing Anti-League, and we were doing what we had to do and all that shit. And, like, I really, like, in hindsight, I should have just jumped in, like, the second one and just done it. Like, the set, not the first one, because everybody fucking gets in the first one. Just get in the second one and do it. Anyway, so I sit down, and Jason as well, Jason Clough, who we've mentioned a couple times on the show. So he's coming, he's staying with us as well, and he's hanging out, and he's also in the same grinder. So we're like, well, I guess we'll just play and see what happens. And wouldn't you fucking know it, but we both get paired against each other first round in the grinder. So Jason, of course, is playing Blue, White, Red, Flash. And obviously, everybody knows I'm on Naya, and everybody knows that I basically have an absurd match against both Jund and Flash. Like, that's the point of the deck. So I sit down, and I crush him unrelentlessly in 2 games. And then we, of course, like, sit there, and we look at each other, and we're like, it's 6:15, like, we need to...
get the fuck out.
We need to go for dinner. And I'm like, are you still playing? He's like, no, I'm going for dinner. And I'm like, do you play a lot? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So the Planeswalker points matter to you? He's like, I guess. I'm like, they don't mean anything to me. So here. And I like fucking 2-0 for him. Drop, drop. Check, drop on both our boxes. We fucking sign it and go for fucking dinner.
Holy. So we go to Leo Fu's for dinner, which is like, it's like the best Chinese food. Like, so we haven't really interacted with Hain very much. Like, I played some games with him and stuff, but, you know, he's been doing his own thing at the tour.
So, at dinner, yeah. So, Hain came to dinner, Peter came to dinner, and then
Jeremy?
Jason came to dinner, Jeremy did not come to dinner.
I wasn't there.
No. Okay.
Jeremy's too good for us.
Yeah, so it was like, Tegan's in the wedding party, he came. Jason was staying at the house, he came. And then Peter and Alex came. And then it was Steve Domaluski.
Yeah.
And which is a buddy of Jay's from the area, and an overall awesome dude, and Jay and myself. So that's the table of people. And yeah, Alex goes over and he's like, yeah, I've, you know, so are we going to do the credit card game for dinner?
Oh fuck, he loves doing this.
He does. All he does is the credit card game.
Yep.
So we did the credit card game for dinner.
So then we're trying to, I'm trying to explain the credit card game to Tegan. Who's not of our culture, right? Like, he's never done anything like this.
He's
before.
Not a gamer.
He's not a gamer. Like, so we're explaining it to him, and Tegan's a smart guy. He deals with finance lots too, so he understands. He gambles all the time. He knows what the credit card game is. We've explained it to him, and he understands. So then we're like, okay, everybody put their credit cards in, whatever. Okay, so then we figured this out, and we're going to pick, and what happens? Well, Tegan is in the bottom too.
With
Scotty Mac. So I'm like, yeah, Scotty Mac's going to pay for this. That's going to be sweet. Nope. So we go to pick, and it's like, Alex goes, okay, Jason, you pick the one that doesn't pay. And Jason's like, yeah, left or whatever. Left doesn't pay. So he pulls it, and then Scotty's like, fuck, that looks like my card. Nope, it wasn't. It was Tegan's. Oh, shit. So Tegan has to pay credit card game for all of these magic degenerate gamblers' dinners that he's never met before. Doesn't hang out with us, nothing.
So it was pretty awesome.
Just got scummed. So we ended up giving him a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I'm in like, the true spirit of the game.
Yeah, like
I ended up having to pay Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Hane had to buy on Saturday.
First. Did he? Oh, he didn't mention that.
Mm. No, he kept it pretty quiet. Kept it close to the vest.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big game. It was only a 3-person game. Because of his dice, there was a few people who were soured by the idea of gambling with him. Let's just put it that way. let's just say that he was already up cash by the time we sat down for dinner. So
yeah. Yeah. So it was good. Like the dinner was awesome. The food was really, really good. It was absolutely amazing. And we're all just like completely stuffing ourselves ridiculous. And we're trying to stick the leftovers obviously to Tegan because we knew he paid, but he rode a motorcycle.
He wouldn't. Yeah, he rode his bike. He rides a big Batman motorcycle. He wouldn't take him.
Yeah. He also objected to us putting a pink wicker basket on the front with the white daisy. Just carrying it in there. I don't know either.
I would have just done it.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, them's the breaks.
Yeah.
So we get back to the house, and Jay's just like, so you guys want to play like NHL for beers or something?
You want to do something fun? No, these four losers are like, let's test our magic matchups for tomorrow. Holy shit. So I just basically was Twittering and having a good time. And they were testing and saying some ridiculous things. So that was fine. You know, whatever. And then what did we do? We played some Star Wars?
So then Jason and... Yeah, so I wanted to play a little bit of Hexbrew. And just because I'm a glutton for punishment and I want to take the fear off. Now that I have an actual plan for the deck, let's see how it plays out. So Steve is playing Hexbrew. So he and I played a bunch of games. Like six or whatever, and we ended up splitting them, and they were good. So a good combination of like pre and post board, and it was fine. So while we're doing that, Jay decides to take on Jason and Lewis in Star Wars, and that's when things got pretty hilarious. So what you have to understand is the way that you do movement in Star Wars is it's like everyone decides what they're going to do with their movement, and they put it face down in front of them. And then everybody moves sort of in sequence. And so unless you are really good at sort of your spatially, you know, unless you're really awareness. Spatially aware, yeah, dumb shit happens. There's a picture I posted to Twitter, which I'm sure we'll put in the show notes. There was one move that Lewis and Jason made with their three TIE fighters. And they all just decided to basically get together and have a lemon party. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So anyways, it was they were all basically like standing there, they're all just kind of like sitting in a circle looking at each other like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah, we just ran all of our ships into each other, so we should probably do something. They still won. Yeah. They got a lucky roll against my three blanks and I just blew up. Luke Skywalker just flew into an asteroid. Sweet piloting.
Yeah, but it was good. The game was pretty sweet. It was awesome to watch. And I guess after that, you know, we knew we had a big GP to go to the next day, so we went to bed. I went to bed. I don't know what the fuck these guys did.
Yeah, I watched a movie. Everybody went to bed. I watched a movie. I was too. So,
I want to talk about my Friday really quick.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Miniature scumbag story in there.
Oh yeah.
So you were on site. You were on site.
Bringing it.
You were on site Friday judging.
Yes, I was. So I am like, a brand new judge. So I'm like,
had I known that Jeremy Schofield was a judge, he would not be the fourth. Let me let me make that clear to you guys out there in Radio Land. Okay.
When does your opinion count for hosts? Like,
no, it literally doesn't at all.
Like, I thought that wasn't a thing.
It wasn't. No, I didn't pick you. I just signed off on you. But that didn't matter. It was already a thing.
So I get there and like this is like literally my like first like major event judging. Like the only other times I had judged were like GPTs where it was like last minute, oh, Jeremy's a judge now, let's get him in here, and I just go up and make an ass of myself. So it's kind of like going to this thing, and it's great because like all the judges, like they're like, oh, how many have you done? I'm like, oh, I've never done any of these. And it's like, okay, great. We're going to treat you like you've been here all week. So it's like, okay, perfect. So like Jeff Foster's just like going to town on me. He's like snipping at me. It's like he was mean.
Jeff Foster is a piece of shit.
No, what? He's the greatest human being on the planet. Like Jeff Foster, like for president or whatever. It was later at the party that we sat down and we like talked, and he was just like, "Oh, you should have told me you were new. I wouldn't have been so hard on you." It's like, whatever. But scumbag moment. So I get in there and I'm like introducing myself to these other judges who are around, and I meet this guy Ryan Darris, and he's a judge from Portland, L2. I've never met the guy before in my life, and he's like, "Oh, Jeremy, hey, I got a little gift for you." So he reaches into his breast pocket and he pulls out this god-awful foil scalding devil. So for those who aren't in the know, I did have a ridiculous run at a GP, and I got second in a GP. And a Portland native by the name of David Strout had a scalding devil in his deck that proceeded to do like 15 points of damage to me in the game that I lost. Like, all I had to do was sit while he was just sitting there tapping mana, just pinging away at me. Just doing this little thing. It's like the most embarrassing match of Magic I've ever played in my life to lose to this garbage card. And there's this judge with the foil. I'm like, yeah, I got you something. So it was like, great. Like, yeah, welcome to the community. Here's some daggers in your face. So I thought that was a lot of fun. Like, just like super scummy. It's like, yeah, I don't know you, but, you know, fuck you too. So just this beautiful, beautiful moment. So as far as it goes, the rest of it was just kind of like, oh, you don't know what you're doing here. Run this event, and then run this event over there, and we're going to launch them so that they coincide. They go at the same time. So I had, like, a mini Masters tournament that literally took, like, 7 hours to go through. Like, these wow. people, I don't know why they tolerated it, but it was like every time I was like, I go over to them, it's like, yeah, you can only report your matches to me, and I'm going to be judging a sealed grinder on the other end of the hall. Yeah, it was just like, it was so terrible, like to the point where it's like my team lead, he comes up to me and he's like, yeah, I need you to have another event. And I look at him, it's like, yeah, I need you not to give me another event. Oh, are you all right? It's like, no, not really. I'm
no,
doing okay.
No.
Just leave me with this. Leave me with this. I'll just finish my shift out. So it was good fun. Went out for dinner afterwards, had a bit of scotch, and was accused of being an angry drunk. So it was all good. Yeah, so that's my quick Friday interject.
Nice. Welcome to the community. Fuck you.
So we get up Saturday. We get to the event. We get there a little bit early. We of course double check our VIP, and Jason Ness is a wonderful human being. Puts on some unbelievable events, and agrees to have Jay and I in, which we're VIP. And agrees to let us VIP seat ourselves together.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Like
so,
a brick house.
So we're like sitting next to each other. We're at the end of a table.
Right? Yeah, we have the last two seats on a table.
Yeah, it's fucking hot.
We weren't like in the middle. We were at the end.
Yeah. So our spot suddenly became like the place.
Yeah.
It was really awesome. And so like we're all sitting down, like no buys, no fears, no fucks given. And so, like, it's funny because, like, towards the end of the day, we had to give out, or I guess, but was it Saturday morning that we gave out all the life pads?
I believe so.
Yeah. So Jay and I like both pick up a box of life pads with tokens and pens and shit. And we start walking around. It's everybody that's sitting down. We're like, hey, here, have a life pad and a pen. Good luck. Here's a life pad and a pen. Good luck, everybody. And there were so many people that were just like, oh my God, Scotty, how's it going? And it's like, I recognize that voice. And it was pretty awesome. So we got to see, like, everybody that was at the GP and just kind of, like, stop in and say, hey, 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 hey. So that was pretty awesome. We sit down. Our seats suddenly become, like, the place to be. We both roll out our ultra...
We were, like, the team meeting area.
Yeah. We, like, both roll out our ultra pimp sign-in blood playmats, which side by side, as we're sitting there with our sign-in blood life pads and our... And the red sleeves that are on my deck, it looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really
Everybody
awesome.
Stopped to look at the sign and blood life pads and to find out where they were.
Yeah. And, like, so we were able to tell, like, a lot of people. And, of course, Peter saw that everybody was asking about them and where did you get them. And so, you know, we were able to pass along some really cool information. And hopefully all of that gets public soon. And it was all pretty. So, it was really awesome. Jeremy, why don't you tell us about how, what time did you get to the event?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I had a sleeping special. I had three buys. So
yeah, yeah.
I was
well,
VIP
you know,
and everything like that, baller. So I strolled in whenever I wanted. I don't know, around noonish, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all good. K- King Witchy, are you okay?
I'm perfectly fine. I'm listening. You're
okay.
What questions do you have?
Nothing yet.
Are you enjoying it? Are we pleasing you?
You're pleasing me.
Okay, good. We just want to make sure. We'll make sure that you're happy.
I'm happy.
I'm here to make you happy. All right.
I aim to please. Sometimes I hit your chin, but I aim to please.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Misogyny, bitches! Anyways. All right. So my first round doesn't go so well, but that's fine. What is awesome is, like, at the end of my first round, so I get a tweet, like, just around players' meeting, because I tweet, I'm at players' meeting, just sitting down, blah, 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 and I get a tweet from Lucas CF, and he's just like, hey, let me know when round two starts so I can, get out of my, lazy hotel room and saunter on over.
Yeah, what a chowderhead that guy is.
I was like, sure. No problem. Like, fuck. Anyway, so he actually ends up strolling over and sitting down at the table, like, after first round. And he goes, so what are you playing? And I showed him the deck, and I'm like, so I told him, working with, Willie's been really good and so on and so forth. And he looks, and I'm like, so what are you playing? And he just smiles. He's like, yeah, I'm on Naya too. And I'm like, I guess I picked the right deck then. And so he apparently had got his list from Glenn McElwain, who is a Toronto area grinder, very well reputed in the PTQ circuit around here, and a pretty good deck builder all around. So, and pretty awesome guy. So we may have him on the show at some point, because he is just that awesome of a dude. But anyways, so he gave Lucas his list, and he was really happy with it, and we were going to jam some games, and he had to sleeve his deck and all that stuff, so we couldn't get it in. Jay, how was your round one?
So my round one was actually the best round of the day, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
So not in terms of results. Like I beat the person that I played in round one. But so his name was David, and I hope I say it right. It's Selinsky. And he was a sweet, sweet dude. He was a really cool dude. He is like a music teacher at a school in someplace. Carstairs, which is just outside of Calgary. And he's like this big, like just big old teddy bear looking guy. And he's got a big beard, and he's just like a big old, like, just, he's not like, I don't know. He's not fat. Like he was a beefy guy. Like he was muscular, he was a big teddy bear, muscular guy. He was super nice. And we're just playing a game, and we're getting to talking, and he's a music teacher, and he's talking about, and then, so, the match is going on, and I had to call a judge on myself during the match, because, like an idiot that I am, and I do this every time I play Rancor, I always think that Rancor is, if a creature dies, then you get Rancor back, but if the creature didn't die, or if Rancor dies, then you don't get it back, or something, is how my brain works. But Rancor just says, if it goes to the graveyard from the battlefield, put it back in your hand.
Yeah. Right?
So I have a guy with Rancor on it, and then he does something to either kill it or kill the Rancor or bounce it or something like that. I can't, like, fully remember. I think he killed the Rancor with the flashback and destroy target enchantment spell. He was on green white. Yeah. And so the guy next to us, sorry, Ray of Revelation, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy next to us goes, because of the state-based effects or whatever, maintain game state or some shit, he's like, you have to actually, like, that goes back to your hand or whatever, just FYI. And so we're like, oh, okay, well, we'll call a judge because it's missed trigger at that point. And so we call a judge and we let him know, and, I basically go through it, and, the judge is trying to explain to him what's going on. And at the end of it, the judge goes like, yeah, this is a missed trigger, so do you want this trigger to go on the stack? And he's looking at me like, what should I do? And I'm like, oh, man, I can't help you out on this one. Like, don't worry about it. I'm like, just relax. It's not a big deal. Just do whatever you got to do. He's like, no. And the judge is like, yeah, so you don't want this trigger to go on the stack, so the trigger doesn't go on the stack, so Rancor stays in the graveyard. And I'm like, yeah, you picked the right decision. And the judge is like, anything else? And we're like, no, thank you for doing that. And then the judge walks away, and I look at my board, and I go, yeah, like, unflinching courage, kill you. I'm like, the game's over, right? So me and David get to talking, and he was, like, a really great guy. And we started talking about, you know, how did you get into Magic and all this kind of stuff. And he's been playing Magic for, like, a million years, like all of us. And he just recently got back into it. And in Carstairs, like a lot of small towns, the kids generally need something to do, because if they don't have something to do, then they can get into trouble. And in Carstairs, I guess a lot of that is drugs. And in Alberta, we have a problem with that generally. So he said, you know, he started up with one of the other teachers that's a friend of his there, a magic club at school. And their school, I believe, because it's a small town, is like grade, I think it's like all the grades. It's like 1 to 12 or whatever. It might just be 6 to 12, actually, or 7 to 12. No, 6 to 12 at least. So, you know, they play with quite a different range of, like, I guess, age range. And he said, yeah, he starts it up and they have something to do. And so big shout out to Hugh Sutherland School in Carstairs. And, you know, we just basically talked about that. And I think what he's doing is like a super noble thing. I think that that's who we need to be supporting in the community, is people like that. And like, basically, like, it just sounds like him and this, like, they just give these kids something to, like, put their energy into. And he was talking about this one student that they have, and I don't remember his name, and I figure I probably don't want to mention it just in case. But, you know, he's got some form of a learning disability, which is quite common nowadays, right? Nothing to be ashamed of or anything, right? Whatever. People have learning disabilities. Who cares? The game of Magic is actually helping this student, like, read and learn to read better and do math better, because he's, you know, the power and toughness and combat math and all that good stuff. And yeah, and he said it's basically helped this guy, like, leaps and bounds, like, 100 times over. And like, I think that's amazing. I can't wait until at some point in my life I help somebody learn, like, math and shit from, like, Magic. That sounds just crazy to me, you know?
Yeah, I had a guy come up to me in Vegas who said that he used to play the other podcast I was on. He used to play that for his students. Like, that was, like, part of his, like, course schedule was, like, wow. Magic, and he would play, like, the podcast. To yeah. which, like, I was like, oh my goodness, that's, like, I don't want any part of that. I don't want kids listening yeah. to me. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, imagine now, they played our show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, especially kids, if you go to this high school, you need to go to your parents and tell them they're doing a poor job of raising you, because you're obviously found this show on the internet. And you need to be supervised.
Yeah. Shouldn't have the internet.
Like, seriously.
But yeah, so I wanted to give him a big shout out. And then, you know, I think what we're going to do, and I talked to Peter Sackless about this, but I think what we're going to do too is we're going to try to put together maybe a little care package for these kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
They don't have a local store. So, you know, they kind of have gotten into this area where they want to try different things like Two-Headed Giant and Draft and Sealed and stuff like that. But they don't have, like, an outlet for that because there's no stores, and some of them don't have rides, or they can't get the money, and they got to save up for 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, we all know how that is, right? So what I'm going to try to do, and we're going to try to get face-to-face, and they said they were down for it, so we just got to kind of work out the logistics. But I want to try to kind of set up a magic care package for these kids. And just, like, whatever. Like, I got 2 boxes of Gatecrash. I'm sure we can figure something out. I got just a pile of cards sitting on my desk. We can figure something out. You know, we signed a bunch of tokens, me and Scotty, for them. And he's like, this is going to be great. These kids are just going to think that this is – I'm going to set them up as, like, maybe prizes or something for them. And they're just going to love that stuff. They love anything like this. Maybe we'll talk to signandbloodlife.com and we'll get, like, maybe a sweet playmat or some sweet books for them to write in, like – that's something that I think, for me anyway, that's what I want to focus on. Like, I don't give a shit about Magic Worlds. I don't care about the drama of, you know, with Chris Mathioli this week. Like, none of that stuff matters. When I played in my first round of the day, that guy set the tone for my whole day. And I think it's so cool what he's doing. I think that is so cool. And the only reason he went to the GP was because his kids told him, you know, Mr. Zielinski, you gotta go, man. You gotta go, and you gotta do it for us. You gotta do it for us. You gotta come back.
And then you, like, crushed the guy in the first round.
In he's the got, first like, round, I just put him
the keeper, and you just, like, yeah. slap him right down.
That's awful.
In the first round, yeah, I just put him right in the dirt. Just right in the dirt. And but you know what? Like he said, like, you know, they want me to come back. They want me to have stories. They want me to, you know, tell them what it's like. And I think that is so cool. That to me is a big thing.
That's pretty super awesome.
Yeah. So that was how my first round went.
Wow. What's his school name again, Jay?
It's Hugh Sutherland in Carstairs, Alberta.
Okay, thank you.
We're engaging KYT. This is good.
Yeah, KYT's talking.
Well, that's pretty noble of him. That's pretty awesome. Like, really.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think that is, and he, like, so he teaches music, he teaches drama, he does the choir, they have a jazz band, like.
Give the man an award.
Yeah, sweet. How fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's how my round one went.
Cool. And round two?
So round two.
Just run it, bro.
Okay, I'll run the whole majigs.
They can't all be like freaking insane.
No, they weren't. They weren't. Trust me. Everybody should try to be a David, a Mr. Selinsky. So round two, I played against Steve. Steve is a pretty cool guy. He was quiet. He's from Edmonton.
Suave?
I don't know. He's like white and he's a little bit older. He's a skinny guy.
Probably,
He's got like short, kind of grayish or sandyish, blondish hair, maybe. And he's like really, really quiet and kind of serious.
But a little bit twitchy at the same time?
Yep.
That's probably Steve Suave.
Rico Suave's brother. He was a really nice guy. He was a sweet dude. So we're playing, and everything's going pretty good. We're talking to him, saying, you know, like, who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? And it's kind of distracting because every round, Scotty is next to me just pimping me out. Just like, hey, how's it going? I'm Scotty. I don't know if you've heard, but we have a podcast. It's my buddy Jay. It's his bachelor party, and he's the greatest guy on the planet. And it was just like, oh, holy shit. All right, I got to let the man do his thing. He's an incredible spin man. But I'm trying not to say that to the Steve guy. I'm trying not to just be up in his mouth, like, just like, by the way, I'm fucking sweet. You know, like, have you heard of my friend Scotty next to me? Listen to him talk about me because I'm the best. Like, it was pretty good. So Steve was a really cool guy. He was playing Naya. As far as I know, he was playing Naya. And it was we had some pretty fun games. But there was a period where Steve missed a trigger and we had to call a judge. And then it was ruled that the trigger was missed. And then Steve wasn't super happy about it, but he wasn't like upset at me. He was just like upset that it happened. And he was like, man, I'm so sorry. And I was like, but he was kind of snarky, but not snarky to me, but just kind of like, fuck, you know? And I was like, man, please, please don't worry about it. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't get in shit because this guy next to me has been watching our games like a hawk and making sure that if there's a rule violation to tell us. And like, while that's probably fine, it's like, I don't want this guy to like catch us doing something we're not aware of and then fucking getting us and we're both getting DQ'd or something. So I'm like, please don't worry about it. And I'm sorry that I had to do it in the first place. I hope that you don't think I'm like trying to get you or anything. He's like, no, don't worry about it. I'm like, okay, sweet. And then we're playing, and then he's now like in serious mode. He's in like counting and doing math mode and reading mode, and like, I gotta get these TPS reports for Johnson by 4 o'clock, and it's like 3:18. You gotta get the fuck out of my cubicle. Like, that's the mode this guy was in. He was in like serious, I'm gonna kill you mode. And he took it to 3 games. It was pretty good. You know, the first game, I was at 33, and he was, you know, He had 4 life totals that entire game. 20, wow. 13, 8, and 2. He was dead. And then in the second game, it went back and forth quite a bit. But he ended at 26, and I ended at 0. And then in game 3, it was again like 19, 17, 6, 0.
Good signs.
Yep. Yep. Those are my favorite numbers. So yeah. So it was a really good match, and I had a really good time. And he was a really nice guy. I kind of felt bad that this is how unimportant the judge call was that we made. I don't even remember what it was. Like, it wasn't
like, it wasn't something crazy. It was just like something that was like, we have to make sure we talk about this. And it didn't, I'm sure it didn't affect the match. It might have put him on tilt, whatever, but that's how match two went. Mm-hmm. And so big shout out to Steve. I'm sure he doesn't listen to the podcast. He's been playing forever, but he said that this is one of his like only big tournaments he's ever been to. He was kind of nervous. He was, you know, he wanted to have fun and everything, but it was like big scale. It was kind of big timing him. And I said, man, just chill, just relax. Let's just have a good time. Let's just whatever it. Okay. And he was a really nice guy. So shout out to him.
Yeah, no, he's a cool guy. He like literally always getting like really serious into the game, and then he started doing the whole family thing, and it kind of like took him out of the game.
Good for him.
So he's really starting to push back into the game now. So like he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a really cool. If you see him, because I'm sure he doesn't listen to the show, tell him that I was really thankful and just loved him to death. The game that we played was great. It was great.
I'm not going to tell him that. I'm going to tell him he has to listen to the show or he's not welcome in the store anymore.
Perfect. That's what I want you to say. See, that's why you're number four, because I don't have to tell you what to do. You just know. That was the test. KYT fails that test every time. Every time KYT fails that test. So round three, I played this guy named Ashley. He was fucking super great, but he had no idea who I was. He was one of those guys who read the shirt and knew of me. Read the shirt. The shirt that said, I am the king of the north at J. Boosh. And then the back, it said at J. Boosh, and it said like the A team or something. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But it said on my shirt, it says, I am the king of the north, J. Boosh. Okay?
Okay.
He knows who J. Boosh is. He knows this person. But he does not know who I am somehow. Okay? So I play Ashley, and the match goes like this. For him, it goes 20. 15-7-0.
Fucking hexproof.
and then in game two, it goes 20-9-11 somehow. 2. And then he dies.
He's playing Jundin. He cast the Huntmaster.
Yeah, that's what it was. There you have it. So he wasn't playing that. He was playing Black White Human.
Oh. So yeah, 2 Blood Artist Triggers?
He was playing Black White Humans. So he's from Winnipeg. He sits down. He's got a big Winnipeg Jets on his shirt. I have no idea who this guy is. I don't know if he's going to be fun or like a dope, right? So I just go like, man, Winnipeg Jets, they're a long way from home. And he's like, yeah, we drove down, me and a bunch of buddies. I was like, sweet, how excited are you for those guys to be back? And he just dives in. He's like, man, I am so fucking stoked. He's like, I was the guy for 15 years. If people were like, man, did you hear they're looking for a new place to send a team? Man, did you hear this team's struggling and they're thinking about moving it? I was the guy every year for 15 years. Yeah, Winnipeg, they're coming back to Winnipeg. Winnipeg wants them back. They're gonna get back to Winnipeg. They're coming. They're fucking coming. I'm telling you, they're coming. And they never showed up. I looked like a fucking asshole in front of my friend. Except for last year. Last year they were all assholes. They came back. I was like, yeah, man. Fuck yeah. So Ashley was a sweet dude. Ashley was a sweet guy. And we played our match. We had a good time. And his Black White Humans list, like in game two, like his life total was very, very quickly dead, right? But my life total went up and down quite a bit because his game two was like play a champion and then play Gather the Townsfolk and then play like Lingering Souls and then play Lingering Souls and then play Lingering Souls and then play Lingering Souls. Like it was just fucked, man. So his life total went down very quickly because he could not attack me. But the board state, if he had some kind of something to deal damage, like a burn at the stake or something, I don't know. I was dead. I was fucking dead. If he had slammed an intangible virtue, game over. So he was a really great guy. We're talking. And then I sign a token for him and I give it to him and whatever. And then like about 10 or 15 minutes later, I'm like going to the bathroom and I'm coming out of the bathroom and I see him and he goes, hey, man, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing fine. And he's like, so I didn't know who you were, but now I do know who you are. So I'm like, okay. And he's like, yeah, so do you mind like taking a picture with me and signing some stuff? I'm like, no, man, of course not. Whatever. That's totally fine. He's like, yeah, thank God. Okay. Because, like, my friend
like texted me. He's like, man, I was looking at the standings and I saw that you were playing fucking Jay Bush. How did that go? And then I was like, I didn't play Jay Bush. And then he's like, yeah, you fucking did. And then I was like, oh, he fucking kicked my ass. That was that guy. And he's like, you didn't even know who he was. You gotta go back. You gotta get me a picture. You gotta get me some shit signed. So that was kind of cool. I guess we're pretty famous in Winnipeg. That's kind of sweet. Shout out to Winnipeg. I lived there and it sucked and I hated it. And I hope it gets away. But it was, but sweet.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so that's how my round three went. So like, again, we're three rounds in and I've had three very different opponents who are all just seem to be just great people, which I was like super stoked about. I was really hoping.
I thought we said they weren't amazing.
They're not amazing?
They're amazing.
I thought we weren't gonna, they weren't gonna live up to the, you said they weren't amazing, awesome people. They weren't gonna live up to the teacher.
Oh no, they're not. They're not gonna live up to the teacher. But they are still cool dudes in their
okay,
own.
Okay.
Okay, let's not mince words here, KYT.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Don't take it out of context.
Yeah. Okay. You don't need it taken out of context and then a bunch of comments about what I may or may not have said, maybe sort of. Okay. So that's Ashley, and that's round three. So at this point, I'm 3-0, and I'm thinking, fuck, I didn't want to go 3-0. I wanted to go 0-2, Star Wars and Anti-League drop. I was thinking that would be pretty perfect. So now what am I going to do? Shit. So then, okay, whatever. Let's get this over with. So I go into round four. Round four, I'm playing against a gentleman named Simon. I'm sure that I've met Simon before. He has a deep voice. He's got some dark skin, and it's nice and just erotic looking for me, you know? He's a very attractive man. He was attractive. He knew what was up. He was trying to get me. He was like being all sultry and very well. Man, I couldn't resist.
So what you're saying is like his skin was so soft you just wanted to rub your penis on it.
Oh man, did I ever. And he had
would
like
you a, say that he was trying to manufacture something?
He might have been trying to manufacture soft bruise. It was I was like distracted. He mission accomplished, Simon. Mission accomplished. So he was a really cool guy. And I've played him before, I'm sure of it. I think he said he was from like the States, like Seattle or something. So maybe I played him in Portland or maybe I saw him there or Vancouver or something.
Sure.
But so we played our match. He was playing red green. It was not red green aggro, it was like red green mid range. Like he had mystics and stuff, but he didn't have I'm pretty sure at one point Scott asked him if he had dragons and he said no, like Hellkite Charger or whatever. What's that thing called?
Thundermaw Hellkite.
And he was like, no, I don't play that or whatever. But he was playing Mystics and no Domri raids and shit. It was kind of weird for me. Like I didn't really know what to expect. But yeah. So we played. It took us to three games. The first game was pretty good, pretty quick for me. Like I killed him. The second game, I had no chance. He had two Ratchet Bombs, which was a card that I was not prepared for at all this weekend. Like yeah. I didn't think that was a card. I forgot that it had been reprinted. Was it
very good against you?
It was very good against me. Like basically he went turn one land, turn one mystic, and then nothing. And then he went turn two attack for one and then ratchet bomb. And then I was just like at that point I was like I had a glade cover scout and was just like, okay. I look at my handful of ethereal armors. Okay, sweet. All right, let's try to get this guy. So then I untap and I played a Spectral Flight.
Yeah.
And then I just went to town on him with this 3-3, like with this Delver, basically. And he just kept it at one and he just kept taking the damage. And he basically would just drew cards and tried to play out of it. And I couldn't play anything in my hand. If I played something, he pops it and I don't have a guy. If I play a guy, he just rolls it up and kills the guy. If he like it was just miserable for me in terms of being able to deal with a Ratchet Bomb. I had no answers for that. I had no cards for that at all. Nothing.
Sweet.
So Ratchet Bomb is a really good card, and I definitely if your meta is full of Bant Hexproof, I definitely recommend at least trying it and seeing how you like it. Because it was crazy against me. Like I basically shut my deck down.
Nice.
Yeah. So I ended up beating him. Like the last match is me at 2018 and then 24, and him at 2018, 6, and then 0. So he just died, and that was fun. And yeah, and now I'm 4-0. Now I'm feeling fine. I'm doing good. I feel like $1 million now.
So actually, at this point in time, Jeremy arrives. Like, he comes over. We see you around round 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how were you doing?
Well, I had my 3 buys, so that was awesome.
Fuck
I
you.
Must be dying.
Seriously.
Yeah, you know, that's how I roll. And, like, you know, like, I'm there with, like, literally, like, just an abortion of a deck. Like, I just have a problem. I can't play, like, anything decent. So...
Okay, you're a judge. As it turns out, story works.
Yeah. So I show up with, like, this, like, weird, almost Boros deck. It's like mono white splashing red for just like janky stuff. Kind of looks like a really bad version of what Craig Wesco would play. And I still managed day 2 with it. I think it was because I had 3 buys. But yeah, I don't really know too much about my matches. I sat down. I didn't play against anybody I really knew. I got to meet some really cool people. At the end of the day, I'm the winning in. I kind of scumbagged this kid.
Oh, so fucking scumbag.
Tell me your scumbag story so that later when I tell mine, I feel better. Please.
Okay. So, like, I'm super cordial with, like, these people. Like, I just love playing Magic. I love the community. So I'm, like, you know, like, just trying to chat up everybody who's sitting down and everything like that. And I'm playing against this kid, and it's his first GP. He's just, like, this little guy. Like, you know, he can't go out drinking or anything like that. He's just, like, this kid. And... he's playing like Jund, and he's got like a good list, and like it's a good matchup, and it's kind of going back and forth. And we go to the third game, and it's both of our winning ins. And as we're getting towards the end, like I'm telling him, it's like however this works out, it's going to be good. Like I lost my winning in for my first GP, and then the next GP I went to, I just like serial crushed it. Like it was just like disgusting. So like if you lose this one, like you're just set up for your next GP. It'll be awesome. So we sit there and like the game plays out and he gets like just he missteps. And that's all my deck has to do. It's like if I draw a hand of 7 cards that looks like it can play Magic and my opponent misses anything, a beat at all, I just beat the living tar out of them. Of course, if they actually hit their lands and draw spells, I have no chance. So okay, I just perfect. Literally all I have to do is beat his ability to determine a proper mulligan. If he can mulligan correctly, I lose the game. Okay. So
man, it sounds like the perfect deck to play at a GP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I played the same thing in San Diego. So he stalls a little bit and I just like go to town on him and I'm like just like banisher priest after banisher priest after banisher priest. It's like he doesn't have anything at all. So like, the game is very quickly coming out of his hands, and it's just, like, smackdown, smackdown, and, like, we kind of get to the point where it's, like, okay, swing lethal, and he sits there, and, like, I see him, like, start to break a little bit on the inside, like, you know, you kind of get, like, that little tinge, the little twitch where it's, like, oh, man, like, this kid's crushed, and I'm sitting there, it's, like, no, man, you're gonna come back, you're gonna rock this, you're gonna be awesome, and then I high-five the kid after I knock him out of day 2.
Oh, my God.
I throw him a high-five, and he just, like, and does the natural, like, oh, someone's giving me a high five. So I high five a kid that I literally just, like, crushed out of the day 1. Like, I mini boss this guy out of the tournament.
These dudes that do that, man.
So, like, I just, like, sit there and it's like, I'm trying to be super positive and he's got a buddy who's there and he's, like, trying to, like, we're trying to pump this kid up. And, like, it's like the second I walk away from the table, it's like, I literally just high five this kid that I just knocked out of the tournament. Like, who am I? So, yeah, that's my scumbag story.
Wow.
But I told him to play in the Sunday Super Series, and I saw him the next day, and he was in great spirits. So, but yeah, that was kind of scummy. But I made day 2 with my giant pile of junk. So
perfect.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that's.
I was excellent. Happy with that.
How did your day 2 go?
Well, let's proceed on.
Yeah. Okay. So at this point in time, I had the opportunity to meet somebody that I had heard about, but didn't realize was actually just, like, the most insane human being ever in existence. So I got to meet Kenji, who is actually Numot the Nummy.
Community Cup member?
Newly minted.
Is he really?
Yeah, congratulations
member.
To him.
Yeah, huge.
Wow, good year, buddy.
Very huge. And, so I got to meet him, which was, like, super cool.
Yeah, I got to hang out with him the day before. He was actually running my cards.
Yeah, that's what he said. And so Kenji actually joined me on my stream on Monday. or Tuesday rather, after I got back, and he and I kind of went through some of our GP stories. So you guys can check that out over at my page. You know where it is. And yeah, we had just like it, I could not believe how unbelievably amazing this dude was. I was just very, very impressed. So that was really super cool. So I was hanging out with him in between rounds. We were talking about streaming.
Yeah, he was like Scotty's barn.
What? I'll be honest.
Man, he was all over Scotty. I was like, sweet. I was like super glad that I wasn't the only one that had fans in Calgary.
Yeah. No, you know what? It's funny because truthfully, I was barning him. And at the same time, he was just like, he was barning me back. So like, it was like this mutual respect thing, which was really cool.
It was like Barnception?
It was Barnception. And it was just awesome because like, he knows KYT, right? So like, he knows about the show.
Like, personally?
Yeah, like just a quick thing, when he came for GP Montreal, when I think it might have been his first one, I actually ended up, like, we were going to split it, but it was, I ended up like basically paying for him to stay here.
Right.
So we got really close. He did videos for me, and then...
Nice!
We've always had a very close connection, me and him. So yeah.
That's sweet. So like, he obviously knows about the show and knows about us and all that sort of stuff. So that was cool. And of course, like, he'd known about my stream a little bit, because, you know, like, sometimes I'm on when he gets off, and like, he streams... He's on this thing where he's trying to stream every day. Yeah, at least once for 365 days in a year.
He's only like 200 days into it right now.
Yeah, but that's still like ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. The quantity of stream. That's a shit ton. He's like mostly a limited guy, so it was really funny to, you know, to ask him. So like, here's what I'm playing, and what do you think about this? And he's just like, I don't fucking know. This is like way too. There's like 60 cards in this deck. What the fuck is going on here? You know. So he was just. He's from Seattle. He's an awesome guy. And so I get to hang out with him. So, like, shout out to Kenji. That guy's fucking awesome.
Yeah. KYT, do you have any questions at this moment?
No. I thought that this was going to be a good KYT show. You've been shutting your damn trap.
Because I didn't do shit.
You didn't do shit. That's right.
So we get there. And so you continue to play round five at this point. We're all hanging out. We're at this spot. You know, everybody's playing. And what happens next?
What happens? Holy shit, what happens? So, round five, I sit down, and I'm playing against Andrew. And truth be told, I don't remember Andrew very much. He's playing the mirror, and he ends up just absolutely demolishing me. I don't really remember Andrew very much, so I apologize. Like, Andrew, if you listen to the show and stuff, I probably just hate you and blocked you out. So basically what happens is I get Andrew to two, and then he kills me on the backswing. And then I get Andrew to one in game two, and he kills me on the backswing. So that sucked. He was playing the version that had mana dorks in it and was playing like the Silverblade Paladins. And I don't know if the Silverblade Paladins were main, or if they were the sideboard for the Bant tech, which is what I'd heard was quite common, was in the Bant Hexproof Mirrors, you brought in Silverblade Paladin because they don't have a way to remove him, especially if you don't load him up. They just basically can't do anything to him, right? Okay. You just never attack with him. Unless you like absolutely need to just basically fill up a slot, right? So that happened. Just killed me, just Silverblade Paladin, and killed me out of nowhere. And then round six, I played against my good friend, Matt Telgen. And, so we're both 4-1 and we both don't want to go to 4-2, obviously. And so we're sitting there, we're playing, we're chilling. Matt is the guy that plays mono red in literally every format. It doesn't matter what format it is. Doesn't matter how good the deck is. Just if it's mono red, he plays it. And that's the end of that chapter. So he's playing, he's on big red with Pyreheart Wolves and Burning Earth and, Dragons.
Wow.
And yeah, his deck was actually doing pretty good. And going into round five, he was 4-0, which is like, which I was super impressed. He's never been to a GP before, as far as I know. And, he's not like, to be honest, like Matt's at that point where he wants to be competitive and he wants to win, but he doesn't know how to win. Like he's at that point where he's, you know, he's the guy that's like, why isn't everybody playing all these cards? It must not be because I'm stupid. It must be because they're fucking idiots. Because these cards are insane, right? Like he's that guy.
Okay.
So, you know, he's getting there. So I was super impressed when he sat down. I was like, fuck, I don't want to knock my friend out of the tournament, but fuck, how proud am I of you, man? Holy shit.
Mm.
Which was super sweet. Like that was a real treat. So we played and, we're playing, and he's got mono red online, and like my deck plays three main deck Fiendslayer Paladins, and his deck doesn't have a way to deal with those. Really.
Yeah.
So that was really good for me. His life total in game one, he starts at 20, he goes to 13, and then he goes to 0. So that was sweet. My life total basically didn't really change a whole lot. You know, he's playing mono red, so it's not like he, you know, is not doing anything. He just can't kill any of my guys, at all, ever. So, you know, that's fun. And then in game two, it was quite a battle, actually, back and forth. Like, I got him down to 9 or 3 really quickly. I can't remember. It was one of the two. And then he basically just, like, took me to town. Like, my life total is 2 columns worth of pages.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, so like basically like he just like made a real game of it in game two. And he goes, I attack with one of my guys, one of the only ones that's not hexproof. I can't even remember what guy that actually even is. Because I think it was voice? Maybe like a knight. Maybe it was, oh yeah, it was voice. It was voice. So he goes, I attack with voice, and he goes to spear my voice. And like, cause he doesn't care about the token. The token doesn't matter at this point. Because he's going to die.
Yeah.
And so he goes block. And before blocked, cause my voice has been kind of beefed up just a little bit. He goes, I'll spear your guy. And I'm just, at this point, I'm just fucking around. I know what I have a mending touch in my hand. And so I'm just like before damage. And it's really loud in there, and he's kind of like, what? And I'm like, is that before damage or after damage? And Jeff Foster's standing right there just watching me, right? And I'm like, he's like, oh, yeah, before damage. And I'm like, all right, mending touch. And he just goes, holy shit. Puts his fucking spear in the graveyard, and then was just like, looks at his cards. I say go. He's like, all right. Go, I guess. And then I just like slammed my shit and killed him. Like he was just dead. So I felt bad for knocking my buddy out of the tournament, but now I'm 5-1.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling really good about it. So yeah, so that was sweet.
Yeah.
So the GP originally, like I had heard anyway, that it was going to be 9 rounds.
That's what they normally are.
That's what they normally are, I guess, and which I didn't know. I know that there's like a threshold generally, but I also didn't know that like there's like they make like it makes a difference based on, you know, whatever. So they for some reason they decided to make it 8. Is it because we didn't have enough people or what?
Yeah, that's what it was. We didn't have enough people. It's embarrassing.
It is. And I mean, the thing is, like, there's worlds, there's the players champion, there's all this stuff going on, and yeah, and I feel like I even said, like, the thing for me is I really don't want the story of GP Calgary, and unfortunately it probably will end up being this way, but I really didn't want the story of GP Calgary to be that only X amount of people showed up, because the people that weren't there don't know what it was like. Like, you know what the greatest thing about this GP, I'd never seen it before ever in anywhere, at any GP I've ever been to, any big tournament, any small tournament, I didn't hear anybody complain about anything. Everybody was happy as fuck. Everybody was walking around smiling. Everybody was having a great time.
Yeah.
I was like, where am I? Like, where are the people that are like scumbags? And where are the people that are stealing shit? And where are the people that are bummed that they fucking lost and shit? Like, it was perfect. It was perfect. And you know what? If there was only 700 of us, fuck it. That's
620.
Enough. Yeah. I had a great time, and so did everybody else, apparently. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all I need to hear. Like,
yeah,
that's
it was good. It was a great time. Well, that's the thing. Ness and like McPhee, they only run good events.
Yeah, that's the thing with Ness. I've never heard anyone complain about his tournament ever. Not a single thing. And you know what? Yeah. To be honest with you, Jason Ness is the fucking man.
Yeah.
So for those
like
of you
that I had heard that they actually shipped him into Vegas, like they brought him into the Vegas planning really early.
Yeah.
Because I said there was no one else who would be able to handle the side events for that tournament like Ness.
Yeah, so like, absolutely.
Like,
And Vegas actually went really well if you discount the whole Friday signing in. So
Yeah. And the thing is that the thing that I heard is that the Friday signing in was shit until Jason Ness showed up, and then it went smoothly. Then he basically just was like, fucking, this is how it's getting done.
Yeah, I can see that.
Wow.
And I believe that. I believe that fucking immediately. As soon as I was told that, I was like, yeah.
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 Like, that's the truth. That's what happened.
That's the gospel.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened after?
So then we get into round 7. I'm playing against Chris, who I'm also playing the mirror. Chris owns a store in Vancouver, and Chris was a nice guy. He absolutely just fucking murdered me. Both games, I believe, he played the exact same cards.
He also plays Hexproof, yeah.
Yeah, he played Hexproof, and he just murdered me. Both games, he played the exact same cards. It was like a guy, and then it was two Ethereal Armors, and then it was like a Rancor and or like a Unflinching Courage, both games. And I just folded that. And again, his life is 17-14-1, and I die. And then in game 2, there's like it kind of was going back and forth a little bit more, but that's only because I had my own Unflinching Courage, and it was like I got him again to 2, and I die. So if there's, I mean, that's saying something, but yeah. So that was kind of unfortunate. That was the fastest match of the day. Like, that match took maybe 15 minutes. But it left a lot of time for me to have a nice conversation with Chris and talk to him about his little store. And he runs a pretty late FNM, which he likes because all the guys that go to the early FNMs get to come and hang out with him and cool. Afterwards and stuff, which is really cool. And it's a good business niche. Like, there's guys that they don't have time to go to early FNM. They got a kid or family or wives, or they work late and they can't make it and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, and so he basically wants to give them a place to play. So I don't remember the name of the store that he owns, which I feel like a bag of shit for. But he does own one. And I recommend you go play there. So then my round 8. So my round 8 match is also a scumbag story. Yay! The scumbag in this story is me. So I'm playing...
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert. I'm playing against a gentleman named Chris Page. Chris Page has been playing Magic for 2 months. 2 months! And he is 5'1". Or no, sorry, he's 5'2", and I am 5'2". Okay? I
can see where this might be going.
Yep. So, he's been playing Magic for 2 months. Another spoiler alert, he also plays at Phoenix Comics in Calgary, which is where I play. So, yeah. Chris Page knows who I am. We've never actually played, but he knows who I am, and I have no idea who he is, but he knows who I am based on that. He doesn't know anything about the show or anything, but he's like, oh, man, I've seen you around, and, like, you always seem to be at the top tables and whatever, and I'm like, yeah, let's dust my shoulder off, whatever.
What?
Right? I'm like, whatever. And so we're playing, and he's on Naya Blitz. And so game 1 was a pretty good game, but I took it pretty handily. Like, he didn't really have a whole lot of chance in the game, it looks like, anyway. Like, the life total is basically, like, he did me some damage, but it was never relevant. And game 2, I did 2 points of three points of damage to him. And he just absolutely destroyed me. Just destroyed me. And then in game 3, he mulls to 6, and he's not looking too happy about it, right? And he's doing the old bummed out shuffle, you know, the old 2 riffles and a fucking whatever. You know? And then he hands over the deck and no land. What do you know? No land. So then he, you know, he like whatever, gives it a little shuffle, and he's like, ugh, no land. He's rolling his eyes, you know. He's like bummed out about it. And he passes it over. What it happens? No land again. So he's on like a mold of like, I think 4 or 5 at this point.
And then you give him a high five.
He's got like, he's got no cards in his hand, like none. He still almost kills me with Naya Blitz. He still almost kills me. So we're playing our game, and he goes turn 1 champion. Then he goes turn 2, play a guy, and put a counter on my champion. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm a Glade Cover Scout, I don't know, flying thing or something, right? Not first strike, because then I would have been blocking. And then turn three, he goes, play a guy. And then, or he plays the, what are that, what's that, is it Shaman? Is that the guy that makes two mana when he comes into play?
Yeah, Emissary.
Emissary, Burning Tree Emissary. He goes Burning Tree Emissary into Lightning Mauler, right? So he goes Burning Tree Emissary, Lightning Mauler, attack. And then I go, for how much? And he goes, for, I don't know, however much damage it is, but he's adding the two counters that he missed the triggers for like 10 triggers ago. And I'm like, ooh, man, I'm sorry, but you didn't, like, you didn't put the counter up when you got your Emissary, and then you didn't put it up when you got your Lightning Mauler, and then you paired them, and then you attacked. I can't give you the counters. And he doesn't really understand what I mean. He's kind of like, what do you mean? What are you saying? And I'm like, okay, so the way that this works is you have, and I'm trying to explain to him how triggers work. And I'm like, I'm using visualizations and 3D effects. I'm like, okay, so you cast a spell and this happens like this. Then if you have a card that says when you do something, do another effect. So you have that card. And that now is above this other ability. So that ability is now on the top. It's the first thing you have to do. It's the first thing that's going to happen right now. And then if you go past that, if you move past that, that's the same as you telling the game, no, I don't want to do this. So you basically had an opportunity to put a counter on when you played your Burning Tree Emissary. And then you said, no, I don't want to do this. I want to play a Lightning Mauler. Then when Lightning Mauler came into play, you had another opportunity to do that. And then you also then said, no, I'm just going to pair these guys. And then I'm going to attack. And unfortunately, because you did that, like, the game has moved on. We can't go back to that point. And he still doesn't understand. And I'm like, okay, no, it's no problem. I'm probably doing a terrible job at this. So why don't we just call a judge and you can explain what happened. I can explain what happened. No problem. The judge will help us figure this out. And like, it's not a big deal. We're not in trouble. Nobody's in trouble. We're just going to figure this out. And he's like, okay. So then the judge comes over and I'm sure that this judge was great at his job, but he definitely explained like the ruling in like legalese, in judge speak, right? Like he basically did not help at all with this new guy, because the new guy is new and doesn't know what the fuck judge guy's talking about. So judge guy's like, yeah, so this is a beneficial miss trigger, and then the rules this state that the bloody and the blue and the blee and the blorps, and he's just like super confused.
You see the
and
kid just the judge, glazing over. Like the kid's sketchy to begin like, with. Like he kind of sits there and he's a little twitchy is the word I'm looking
he's
for.
He's a little but I mean like whatever. Like I'm sure like it's not like he's not twitchy like he's like on drugs or trying to scum me. Like he's just like one of those kind of probably socially awkward guys that just is having a hard time. He's trying to be, you know, the man. He's been playing Magic for 2 months. Yeah. He's on his winning in, you know, like he's probably just excited. And
he knows what's supposed to happen. He just doesn't know how it happens.
Yeah,
it's
and he's
magical that this thing's supposed to get extra counters and stuff.
Yeah. And like the other thing too, is like, he probably just doesn't understand. Like, cause in FNM, you just do that, right? You say, I play two guys, I get two counters. I attack for 12, whatever. Right. You say I play two guys, I attack for 12, and then I roll up my counters even, right? Like, it's effing. Yeah. So he just doesn't understand what's happening. So then from there, the judge just basically turns to me after he sees that this guy's just glazing over. He turns to me and he goes, do you want these triggers to go on the stack? And I'm like, nope. And he's like, okay, they won't go on the stack. So what happened happens, and the damage is what the damage was. And so it shall be, and blah, 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 blah. So then it's like, okay, so then Chris kind of like doesn't really understand, and he gets super, super tilted. Like he goes from just being like nervous, fun, I want to play a GP, Chris, to like angry, depressed, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to talk to anybody, fuck you, you cheated me out of a, you scumbagged me. Like that's how I felt. I mean, I'm sure he was just upset, but that's what was coming across to me, right? So my perceptions are my realities, and I'm not trying to shit talk Chris at all. I'm just saying, like, that's what I was feeling is coming off this guy was just, like, fucking just malice.
Seething and rage.
Just, he was upset. And I tried, and of course, like, so then I tried not to aggravate the situation, and I just basically only talked to him when I had to, because, like, you know, like some people don't understand. When I beat you and I want to shake your hand, it's because we had a good game and I just want to shake your hand. But some people take that as like a fuck you, I beat you and I'm rubbing it in your face maneuver. So I'm just only talking to him when I have to, and we're making sure everything's clear. And he didn't make a single like mistake after that. And I ended up beating him. And to be honest, like I beat him the next turn, and I don't believe that the two damage would have made an outcome on the game. Like I don't think I would have lost because of the two damage. That being said, I don't know what he had in his hand or his deck, or if he's maybe playing like random burn spells. I don't know any of that. So I don't know for sure that what I'm saying is true, but that's basically what happened. So then he's like super pissed. He packs up his shit and he is like up fucking set. And of course me, I'm such a scumbag. I'm so excited that I just leave. I just get up. I'm not like woo in his face or anything, but I just get up and I just leave. I walk.
You don't even give him closure.
No, I just get up and I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't want to rub this in this guy's face. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say good game. I don't want to do anything. I didn't even sign the match slip. I didn't put any of my shit away. I didn't say anything to Scotty. I didn't do anything. I just fucking left. And I'm like calling my wife. I'm like jacked about that. And I'm like up calling her and I'm like, I made day two, whatever. And as I'm dialing and the phone rings once, I'm like, holy shit. I didn't even sign the fucking match slip. I better go back and sign the match slip. So I just casually walk back like nothing happened. And I grab the match slip and I, you know, take it in the fucking, I sign it and I give it to him and he signs it. And then, you know, I'm like, thanks for the games, man. And he doesn't say fuck all to me. And he basically, just walks away and is really upset. And then that was my 6-2. That was my fucking winning in day two. That was my fucking GP magic.
That's awesome, man.
Wow. Yeah. That was my first. And then like everybody is under the impression that I've day two'd before. I was like, no, I've never day two'd before. This is grandiose.
So
I could tell how excited you were with it. You know, how well you did the next day.
Yeah, I only had one loss on day two. So who else can say that?
I didn't lose at all in the main event on day two.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, so I finished at 75th on day one, and yeah, that was sweet. And I and Ted Sloan promptly exited the tournament in round four. So the Iceman got a little heated up. Got a little melted.
Hey, he came out to the party and stuck around for a bit.
That's right. Yeah. Oh man, and I feel so bad. I'll tell you some scumbag stories about the party too. He took it like a good sport and everything. But I mean, like, I think that was like the first big step in our new friendship, because me and Teddy weren't that great of friends. Like, we were friends, but like, you know, kind of like, I don't know. So
Ted's a good chap.
He is. He's the best, but I didn't know if I was friends with him type idea. So, yeah.
So KYT, how are you doing?
That was my day one. KYT, yeah. Are you fucking asleep yet or what?
Yeah, I'm sleeping. No, I'm glad that X-Proof served you well. Like, I was really happy. I was really worried that you were just going to 0-2 drop. And you wouldn't have minded that much, but still.
We know he has a lot of decisions to make with Hexproof.
Yeah, like, that's the key.
So you would play the deck again?
Oh, man, I'm playing this till rotation. Till rotation.
That's awesome.
What did you like and not like moving forward?
Sure. So what I like, okay, so I played a version that had Glade Cover Scouts and no dorks. And again, this is on KYT's, like, this is on KYT's and Scotty's, like, suggestion, and I think that's wrong.
It was mainly me. Scott yeah. Scott was clearly like, aware.
Like, personally, I think Banned Hexproof should be playing turn two Geist. There's no deck that beats turn two Geist. They have that two mana make you sack a guy card, but nobody's playing that. And like, even then, you sack your dork. So what they have to have is two of those. They have to have two of them, which like nobody has two of them. That's fucking ridiculous. So, like, it's unbeatable. It's just unbeatable. So there was that. And then, I liked the Glade Cover Scouts. Like, I liked always having a turn two guy into turn, at least turn two. Like, it was always at least three damage. Most of it was flying. I really like that. I think, I still think Silverblade Paladin is the worst fucking card in Standard, and I don't know why people are still playing it. But it is an absolute unbeatable super bomb in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like, it's just unbeatable. So, I think if you're going to play it and there's lots of ban hexproof in your meta, definitely you need to have at least two in the sideboard, and you should probably have three. So there's that. I didn't like Mending Touch. I know what Mending Touch is for. I know what it's for. I didn't play ban hexproof a whole lot, and I didn't, even in the matchups where I did, I didn't see it. Like, I think I saw it in one matchup. I don't know. I just didn't like it. I didn't think it was that great. I think what I want is Naturalize. I think that's how much of an impact fucking, that's how much of an impact that stupid card made on me. That Ratchet Bomb.
So you want Naturalize for Ratchet Bomb?
Well, I didn't like Ray of Revelation, and I found that it was kind of useless, and I found that there's never a time in which I needed to remove two right now enchantments. That just never happened. Like, I feel like Naturalize would do the same, and I feel like if they're going to play Ratchet Bombs, then at least I have an answer to that. And, like, I don't know, what else is there? Like, Pike, maybe? Like, people could start playing that again for some reason. Like, I can't think of other artifacts or enchantments that are bothersome right now, but, I mean, like, instant speed removal is good anyway, and that's what Mending Touch brings, but it's also what Naturalize does. And I feel like just being able to kill a Ratchet Bomb or force them to pop their Ratchet Bomb, I feel like that's worth it. I feel like that's worth the not having the flashback. So I don't know if that's right, but I just, in my experience, that was definitely worth it.
Okay.
Would be to kill those Ratchet Bombs.
And Ratchet Bomb looks like it's starting to see more play as well. So that's just definitely something else to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you need against Hexproof, and it's going to see play against humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like truthfully, even in my Naya deck, I've been playing it recently, and I've cut one of the Ray of Revelations for Ratchet Bomb, like, just straight up. Because it's you never really wanted the second Ray anyway, but the matchup was so bad.
But you need to hedge, draw, right?
So, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. So that was mainly what I like. I liked Mending Touch. Mending Touch was interesting. So Mending Touch is for those of you that don't know what it is, because I didn't know what it was. It's one green instant regenerate target creature. So it was super good against bonfire decks and stuff like that. And like, it totally blew out Matt Telgen. So it's good against red decks. I really liked it. I think it was interesting that it wasn't fog. So like, that was something that like I would probably play instead, or try out and see if you like it better, because fog basically allows you to attack for lethal attack and then have them swing back at you, and basically it just buys you, like, it basically time walks them, because in Hexproof, like, it's a combo deck. You don't care what they're doing. You're just trying to land a guy, land your combo, and then just kill them in two turns. So, yeah.
Not to mention, they might overcommit and, like, get rid of their only blocker or whatever like that if you're in a situation like
that. Exactly, like, exactly. So, like, that, and, like, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll alpha swing you, and then, like, maybe fucking play like a shitty blocker, like just thinking they have one blocker or they can live or whatever, and you're going to be at a low enough life that now that they have a blocker, you can't alpha swing them again. And so like, fog just basically buys you a turn. It's like having another like five copies of fucking Unflinching Courage. That paladin, the Fiendslayer paladin, is absolutely insane. That guy is worth every dollar that people charge for him. He's so good.
Nice.
So fucking good. He was also Unflinching Courage 5/8.
Yeah, and that's what I think makes him very good in that deck.
Yeah. Like, there was so many people that just couldn't deal with him, and I didn't even load him up. Like, there was, because he doesn't have Hexproof. I was really worried he doesn't have Hexproof, so it's just a liability, and you know, I'm just going to get blown out by this guy and fuckity shitballs. And,
no.
No, he's super good. I mean, he is a liability against Jund. Like, he, I mean, Olivia can just kill him or steal him, no problem, right? But I mean, like, there's a lot. He, like, there's a lot of stuff that can just do stuff. Like, that's the thing. Those are magic cards. So, you know, I feel like he is an insane card. And I mean, like, all you do is put one enchantment on him, and it's like game over. Like, they can't do anything. There were so many games where I just had him as a blocker, and they're like, yeah, attack you for, I don't know, like 8. And then I'm like, okay, well, block your X2, and then gain 2 life, and then so I take 4 damage. Problem solved. And then it's like, okay. And they're just trying to whittle me down, and it's like, then I just untap, put a, like a flying 2-2 enchantment on him or something, and just like, they can't do anything. They're, it's over. You know?
Nice.
Yeah, so I really like that card. I like that card a lot.
It's over.
Just over. Game over.
Yeah. Scotty, how was your day one?
So I went 5-3 on the day. So yeah. I just missed.
Is that how you tell it?
What?
That's a good way to tell it.
I went 5-3 on the day. That was my final record at the end of day one.
Yeah.
So
just the X3 bracket.
Yeah, what's just that? Barely missed day two.
Yeah. Yeah. I was one win short of day two.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I hit the X3 bracket. Well, it was 1-3. Yeah, I hit 1-3, and decided that screw you guys, I'm gonna battle back so that I can tell you that my final record was 5-3, and that's what it ended up happening. But overall, like I played very well. I felt like I didn't make any like major mistakes. I don't think like I recognized one as I went through my report. But in hindsight, it wouldn't have mattered. Like, I was playing against the green-white guy that killed me with the worm token with Unflinching Courage, and I played to him having to have, like a very specific set of cards, and he had the very specific set of cards and then one extra. And the only play that I could have made differently was, like, I knew he had a Johnny Color of the Pride, so there was one turn that I attacked with the Restoration Angel, and I probably could have left it behind, which would have allowed me to basically like not die to an Ajani. But then he showed me the Phyto Burst.
Phyto Burst. That guy's a master. I played him at fucking GP Vancouver.
Right? Like Phyto Burst and the Ajani. So like it didn't actually matter. Because sometimes your opponents just have the Phyto Burst.
I love that idea.
Anyways,
they never have the Phyto Burst.
So, like, no buys. Hey,
Jeremy's opponents never have the Phyto Burst.
Yeah, no buys, no buys. Yeah. Otherwise, it was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed myself. Like I said, the deck played well. I couldn't complain. I would have liked to have made day two. That would have been pretty awesome.
Yeah,
but
not like Ted Sloan.
Not like Ted Sloan. but it was fine. Like, I definitely enjoyed myself. I had a blast. And then I decided to take the deck into the Super Series the next day. And again, like, that day, I was exhausted after the party. We can talk about that later, like, the actual playing of the tournament. But suffice it to say, that tournament, I also just missed on... I lost my win-it-in for the berth to top 8, or, which actually would have been ended up being top 4 had I won.
So, brutal.
Yeah, which would have got me there. So, like, the deck was very good. I played very well, with the exception of one spectacular fucking punt, which then ended up costing me a lot more than. So, that was, yeah, but that was it. So then we end up leaving the venue. Jay's all happy. He hits day two. We all decide we're going to get ourselves all packed up and then go out and get ready. We got to have some dinner before the party.
Yeah.
So we hit the town, and we end up going and finding a table in at Milestones. And
the worst fucking Milestones on the planet.
It really was, yeah. So we at this point was Lewis, who also made day two.
Oh yeah, go big ups, Lewis.
Yeah, he actually ended up top 64ing the event and cashing.
Blammo.
So good for him. And then Jason Clough as well was with us, and Jay and I. So the four of us go out, and we end up going out to do. To dinner at the Milestones, which is literally across the street in the bed. We're like, Jay and I are sitting down at our tables. We look up, we can see the room we're going to party in.
We can see all of the nerds walking by.
Yeah. So the patio's ramped. Like, we actually have to walk in, wait till somebody leaves quickly, and then I mop up the table and we sit down. So we sit down, and then all of a sudden, Ian comes over with from another table. And Ian says, hey.
Ian was the sweetest guy, by the way.
Literally. Like, so Ian, this is your shout out on the show. Like, absolutely most amazing dude ever. And I'm actually going to mention, he said some very kind things afterwards, too. So, so he comes over and he's like, oh, Jay, hey, how's it going? A big fan of the show. And then he's like, oh my God, Scotty. And I'm like, yep. And so he proceeds to tell us that, you know, he really appreciates everything that we do in the community, and he'd like to buy us a drink. So, of course, he, you know, as an awesome fan does, he picks up a round for us at the table.
Yeah, how fucking sweet was that?
Which was, like, completely unasked for and just unbelievably sweet. So we, you know, absolutely appreciated it, and we had a drink on him. It was pretty awesome.
It was great. Yeah. So I was kind of buzzed because I didn't think we were going to get, you know, a couple of free drinks there. So I was basically, you know... power slamming him, you know, which was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went to the Manita Pride party, which was fucking sweet.
We met party a bunch. We met a bunch more people at the table, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's this guy, and his name is Dylan, and he was the fucking biggest, sweetest bear on the whole planet.
And he looks exactly like the sauce box.
The sauce boss.
I don't know who that is. But he looks like the sauce boss.
Yeah. That's pretty good. But yeah, he hung around and he partied. He sat at our table for a while, and he was a really good dude. We had a lot of fun with him.
He is a sweet guy. He was like probably one of my favorites all weekend, for sure. Besides like Jeff Foster. He was definitely the fucking sweet hotness.
Agree.
Yeah, he was a cool guy for sure.
Yeah. So he was hanging out for a bit, and that was all awesome. And we end up, partying with. So we show up to
John. John was there.
Is that his name?
I don't really know anything about him. He's other than he's like super nice, but So shout out to John.
Right. Shout out to John. To John. Cheers. So we get to the venue, and there's a few of us that show up, and we kind of sit in our little corner, and the karaoke's getting itself all set up, and people just start like piling in, drinks start pouring.
Holy fuck, were they pouring?
And so the karaoke gets started. It's a good blast. I open it up with OPP.
Yep.
Which was pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it was good.
I think. Nobody really said anything, so I just assumed it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, jerks. What a bunch of jerks.
Nobody said anything. So.
Really? Yeah. I didn't expect no one to say anything. It was all right. It was better than nobody saying nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I set fires to feel joy. Anyways. Shout out to DMAC. Okay, so the party just gets going. Everybody's fucking drinking like crazy. Jay gets up. He does a tune. He does
Folsom Prison Blues.
Folsom Prison Blues. Johnny Cash borrows Alexander Haynes' hat for the show.
Oh yeah, man. Because Alexander Haynes all weekend was wearing like this big goofy white Stetson, and then
he paid for that.
Yeah,
he
did. And then on top of that. He also just looked exactly like the fucking face-to-face token.
Yes, he was. He was the superhero with the cowboy.
Everybody,
hat.
Yeah. So everybody thought that he was like that was an Alex Haynes token. So he's like, yeah, people have just been asking me to sign these tokens all day.
Yeah,
and it's not even me.
Yeah, that was the token that I had him sign to. I didn't have him sign one yet. So yeah, I had him sign that one. So it's pretty awesome too.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But no, Jay did a really good job. He demonstrated that he certainly has the capacity and chops to overperform at karaoke, which was awesome. And Jeremy, why don't you like give us your perspective of the party? Because, I mean, like, unfortunately, I was basically just trying to chase after Jay and make sure that everything else was going well. And Jay basically, I had to save him from molesting Jessica. It was Jessica.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
Yeah, it was
Jessica. I made sure that nobody molested Jessica.
All right, we're gonna get into Jessica in a minute. but Jeremy, tell us about your after the Grand Prix. What happened?
Okay, so day one ends. We go and swing by the room. I've got Hane in tow because we're gonna go out for dinner before the party. I've got a few of my buddies. We head up to the room to drop off some of our stuff. Hane fleeces one of the guys in our group for 20 with the dice.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
With, like, the tricky dice. Like,
yeah, with the tricky dice. Like, literally, he's, like, walks in the room, and he's, like, looks at me. He's, like, want to do dice? And I'm, like, just ask one of them. He's, like, who wants to do a roll for 20? One of our guys, he's got his hand in his pocket. Like, it almost seemed like he was just waiting for somebody to want to gamble. He's, like, 20 in. It's, like, he's, like, looks at him. He's, like, you just got to roll him on the floor. So he's, like, odd or even. Guy says, even. Hane just throws the dice on the floor. 7. Walks over, picks him up. Guy gives him $20. So we're just like, the guy, of course, like, is just like immediately like, double or nothing. To which Hane is like, no, man, no, we're not doing double or nothing. So it's like, it's pretty funny because it's like, it kind of like plays out for a little bit. But like, about 3 minutes later, it comes out that they were trick dice. And like, Buddy's just like, all of a sudden just gone pale. And he's like, I want my money back. And it's like, no, like, that's not how it works.
They're
just like, you literally just got, like, a lesson on how to treat your opponent and understand what's going on from the best player in Canada. Not the best player in Canada. That's John Stern. But Alexander Hane gave you a lesson for $20. Like, I think you got a good deal. So he's, like, just on tilt. So we go out for dinner, and we do credit card game. And he's like, is he playing? And I'm like, yeah, of course Hane's playing credit card game. He's like, I don't want anything to do with it. So it's just like...
Like Hane can somehow cheat the credit card game.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
I'm sure he can.
Like that's the thing. The EV is the same. Like the EV is like non. Like, but the odds are in your favor. Like the EV is always going to be the same, but the odds are in your favor. So it's like, of course he's going to, you know, play the credit card game. Like, you know, the odds are better than 50%. So, you know, we sit there and we play the credit card game. Like the guy who got like cheated, like ended up actually like telling a waitress to put everything on the credit card game's bill.
Wow.
Like, 1 in 3 chance he would actually dagger Hane, which, you know, Hane ended up losing. So, like, my buddy sits there and he's like, yeah, well, I didn't like that, you know, F you, and he, like, walks out. And then, like, I guess he, like, sent a text to one of the guys saying, like, oh, I'm just trying to screw with them. But when he came in, I just, like, tore into this kid. Like, I just ripped him a piece, like, saying, like, that wasn't cool at all. And so it's, like, you know, it's, like, kind of like this awkward, like, now I just want to drink. Because, yeah. Like, just had, like, this really awkward moment. And we get to Salt Lick, and it's, like, nobody can figure out how to actually get to the bar. Like, there's, like, literally 30 of us standing outside of this place saying, like, where's the party? Where's the party?
Really?
So, like, yeah. Like, we were out there for, like, 10 minutes trying to figure out, like, how do we...
Wow.
So I walk into the Salt Lake, and I'm like, okay, this is going to sound really weird. I want to get to a bar upstairs. And they're like, yeah, the stairs are right there. It's like, oh, okay. So I walk outside and drag everyone up. And it was great because I went up there. They had scotch, and I just drank scotch all night. And people were buying me shots and drinks, and it was beautiful. And it was a really good crowd. Like, you kind of went in there and it was like the karaoke wasn't going and like, it was a big place and there wasn't a lot of people in there. And I was kind of like, is this going to be a flop? Like, is this going
to, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, is this going to be the GP Vancouver version of like the party where it's like, we just don't have the attendance. And it was just like, oh man, I hope this doesn't play out like that. But, as soon as I started drinking, I really just didn't give a shit. And, I drank a lot of scotch and it was beautiful. And, you know, everyone started singing. Scotty's just a machine on the mic. And then, like, I knew things were definitely going to get good because Jeff Foster walked in the door.
Holy shit, yeah. I was Jeff. That's when I got hired.
Yeah. So, like, came in, like, we sit there, and it's like we got Andrew Norwaj there. Is that how you say his last name? I don't know. He's just
know
like,
who that is.
He's, like, the nicest guy on the planet. And he owed me a beer from GP Toronto. Yeah, he owed me a beer from the Toronto party. So we eventually got to square up on that. But it was just really good. Like, all of a sudden, like, people started going. Then, like, my group that I had brought in, you know, they weren't, like, really into, like, wanting to sing too much. Like, one of my buddies did a bit of singing. That was Mike. He did, like, I don't know, like, rock stuff that I don't really get. They all started playing
Christianity. That's the best way to describe a song ever. I don't know. Well, he sang some, like, rock stuff that I don't really get.
Yeah. Like, it was great because, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, Curly's there and Kenji's there. And, like, we go up to Kenji and it's like, okay, you're going to sing. He's like, there's 0% chance you're going to sing. And then, like, Curly and I are working on, I'm like, well, You know, like, what if we did something like this? And he's like, I ain't singing anything like that. It's like, well, what if we go old school? What if we kick it old school? And he's like, well, I might be interested then. And then he just kind of goes like, well, if we sing YMCA, I'd probably sing. And it's like, all right, so we know you're singing now. So, Harvey, you know, like, had to crack the nut that was Kenji, and he started singing, and he got degenerate, and I was singing, and it was great. And, like, you know, there was this whole thing of, like, I just need to drink a lot, because if you're going to do something, go hard or go home. And, you know, once I got molested by Jay,
This happened.
No, seriously, I was talking to somebody. I had my head turned, and it was, like, literally, like, the turn your head and cough. Except I was doing the turn your head and cock, and then all of a sudden I look down and you've like got like the full cup, like even
no.
like down, like seriously, like you this knew everything. That went, no, it's not slander at all. Like I literally had to like, go down and just, like grab you, like I had to double hand your arm and like just like kind of take it off. Like seriously, it was messed up. But there was like crazy stuff going on. Like you had Doug Potter who was like rapping the whole night, and then you had BZ Rihanna, which like just like brought like new levels of Chris Brown to the place,
and our waitress's name was Rihanna. Fuck, was she hot, by the way?
Seriously, and, like, unbelievable.
The staff was amazing. So,
and her boyfriend's name was Chris, and she told us that joke, which we thought was funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so it was just a wild time, and like as soon as it was done, they're like, okay, everybody leave, and then. Oh, geez, who was it? It was Jeff, myself, Curly, and Kenji. We didn't want to leave. So as the guy's, like, literally, like, cleaning up the karaoke stuff, he's got his laptop.
Among other things.
And he's like, yeah, he's got the laptop turned around, and he's, like, pointing the laptop screen at us because they're already packing up all their screens, and we're sitting there just, like, singing karaoke off of the guy's laptop.
What the fuck?
Well, like, every time he's done, he's like, I'm done. And it's like someone just pulls out a 20 and, like, throws it over the table and says, ah, you got one more in you. So like, we strung out, like, another three or four songs. Like, we gave the guy some good money. So it was just so much fun. Like, those parties were...
It was the best.
Yeah, like, you were just... It was hilarious because, like, you were, like, going. And then there was, like, this, like, crazy song for you where there was a lot of, like... bumping and grinding, and that's when you molested me. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're passed out on a couch.
Yep.
And then I overheard that you had some very colorful thoughts for the bathroom. And,
oh, man, they were.
Jeff Foster was complaining.
Yeah, Jeff Foster could not handle that shit at all. What a puss. What a puss.
Yeah, so it was pretty rough.
Until then.
Buddy, that they had to go to that party because they're bonkers so good. Like, I leave that party and it's like it's a no-brainer that I'm going to Toronto because we're going to do another one of these parties.
Yeah, like these parties.
Who's listening? Like, yeah, like Jeff Foster, who doesn't even have a home. The guy is like voluntarily homeless. Like his immediate response is A, how do I live in Canada? And B, how do I make sure I'm at every Canadian GP because the Americans can't figure it out.
Yeah.
That is, like, the greatest compliment for you guys for running just, like, a nutso party. Because, like, this is a guy who, like, GPs for a living.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, yeah, Canadian GPs are just significantly far and away better than anything that happens in the States.
Yeah, beyond all measure of insane. So it's pretty awesome. It's all very, very exciting. Having everybody there and everybody just, like, really appreciative of everything that we were doing was super surreal. I had to tidy Jay up a lot.
A fucking asshole.
So time, like though. Number one. So here's the thing. Number one sign that I need to look at for Jay.
You might be a redneck if.
So I look over, and Jay's sitting at a table with a quiet blonde girl. Who was smiling a lot at him, you know, and he was, you know, trying to talk over the volume, so he was pretty close to her.
Screaming at her and pretty close.
You know. And Jay's really animated and he's, you know, talking with his
hands.
This
is all false. In my mind, I remember being Rico Suave.
So he's talking with his hands, and this girl, Jessica, is actually a big fan of the show. So she's probably listening right now.
Is she?
Yeah. Yeah. She said she listens to us all the time. She said she's listening to every single episode.
What? Yeah. I didn't know that at all. Yeah. I had my own celebrity stalker and I didn't even know it.
So he's talking with his hands. He's a little close. It looks like it's very soon that he's going to get grabby. You know?
No.
She's got...
What?
She's clearly got... She's clearly got some things to grab onto, you know, and he's talking and he's getting really close. And I thought, okay. So I come over and I'm like, Jay! And I like grab his hand and I'm like, you can't grope people. And he's just like, I'm not gonna. I'm like, okay. I'm like, who's this? So anyway, so it's Jessica. She came here all by herself.
Yeah, she came all the way to Calgary by herself.
Just to come to this party.
Wow.
So we end up, bringing her over to a table of gentlemen that I know is not going to treat her poorly. And I come and bring her to the table.
Did you bring her to a table that Curly was at?
Yeah. And
I don't know. Alex Hain and BZ were at the table. So I thought I was probably going to be okay.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Maybe. Anyway, so I brought her over to the table and we started hanging out and everything was fine. And then Jay just like went off like a hummingbird somewhere else.
Yep.
But yeah, he was like a pinball machine, like a pinball, just ding 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 ding, all over the place. And he was like, Jay, how you doing? Oh man, congratulations! Shots.
And literally every single person was like, you need to do some shots. I was like, all right, let's do some shots. And then as I'm walking back, like hands are just jutting out of the darkness to give me shots and like. Making me do shots. I'm fucking that Doug Potter piece of shit. He made me do a cement mixer.
Oh, he wanted me in on that.
What's that?
My God.
A cement mixer? So a cement mixer is a bunch of different boozes, but the most important one is that it includes Baileys. And it's designed with such a consistency that when you pour the Baileys in and it mixes in with the other boozes, it curdles. So it's very dense. And it's like when you take
a drink, a drink is not supposed to come apart.
Yeah.
Like it's like the worst cottage cheese you've ever had in your mouth.
Truth. It's exactly what it was. So yes, it was disturbing and gross and scary all at the same time. But yeah, so it was just overall that kind of day, you know. The whole party was awesome. Everybody that was there I know had a spectacular time. Jay pulled me aside couple times just before he introduced me to like his dad, and
my dad came, which was fucking sweet.
So let me tell you. Whoa. So I can tell you about Jay's dad.
My dad and my cousin Mitch.
And your cousin Mitch. And your cousin Mitch was hilarious.
The best.
It's very evident where the personality comes from. Jay and his father and his cousin, they all share like the same sense of humor, and so they all like. Pew pew and like making noises at each other and shit. Like they all do that. And so like coming out of his dad, who is like 80, is awesome, by the way. But it was pretty sweet.
Oh man, I just remember Doug Potter on Sunday telling me about this interaction, and as soon as he told me about it, I remembered it. But he's like, yeah, and I remember coming up to you and you were like, Doug, this is my dad, my fucking dad. And then you go, Dad. This is Doug, and not just Doug. This is Doug Potter, Doug Pro Tour Potter. And then my dad's like, "Hey, nice to meet you." And Doug's like, "Yeah, that's nice to meet you." And I'm like, "No, you don't get it. This is Doug Potter, Doug Potter." And I'm just fucked, right? And then I go to my dad. I go, "Yep, I love my dad, and I love my Doug."
I heard this story from Doug.
What the fuck? Who was giving me drugs? You fucker. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was a bit of a hurting champ.
Yep. I was doing my job. I was definitely doing my due diligence.
Yeah. It was an awesome time.
We had the greatest time.
Everybody literally had the greatest time. Literally.
Just waiting for the videos to get posted.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Them videos.
Them videos, Scotty.
But anyways, it was like a super, super sweet time. And so I finally get to the point where the night is coming to a close. And Jay is inebriated.
Yeah, to say the least. Holy fuck.
He's having difficulty standing on his own. And the thing is, like, Jay falls, it's not going to be a graceful thing. You know? He's a pretty big guy. He's got some density to him, you know? And so I'm afraid not only would he, like, hurt himself, but he'd probably, like, hurt whoever he fell on and stuff. So he seemed to think he had perfect balance.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Although every time I was like, here, can you do me a favor? Just stand right here. I need to go resolve X and Y, and I'll be right back. You're like, okay. And you look at me right in the face, and you're like, okay. I'm like, I mean it. Fucking stay here. Okay. And so like I walk away, and like no more than 15 seconds later, and he's on the other side of the bar. Oh my god. Yeah, Jay was fuckered. So, anyways, finally he's looking at me, and I know he's a mess, and he goes, Scotty, I need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, you need to piss? He's like, no, I need to get this out so I can rally.
I don't remember this at all. That is
so. I'm like, okay. I said, okay. Well, let's take you to the bathroom, and you can go and do that, and then we'll get you a cab and take you home. And you're like, okay. So I send you to the bathroom with Foster. Jason Clough goes downstairs to call a cab, and so I end up going and I'm trying to resolve the bill, you know, and get all that stuff sorted out. And then all of a sudden, Foster comes back out of the bathroom, like, beeline. He's like, I can't, oh my god, I can't. He's puking everywhere. It's, like, everywhere. I can't. I'm going to throw him. I can't.
Wow.
And I look at him. I look at him, and I'm like, okay, well, I appreciate you bringing him in there. I'll go take care of it. You know, it's fine. It's good. And he's like, okay. I can't. And I'm like, okay, it's all right. So I go in there, okay, and Jay's in the stall, standing in the stall, with his hands on top, I can see, and I can see his head popping around. His cousin Mitch is behind him with his smartphone.
What a piece of shit.
Taking videos like a paparazzi.
Wow. Jay.
So I go in there, and like, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm going to throw up, I, like, get down on my knees, brace myself against the toilet, and I fucking throw up, right? And it goes into the toilet.
I'm a champ.
Well, Jay very clearly didn't want to get that close to the toilet and decided
in
that...
In a public place?
Decided from... Deciding from standing that he was just going to let loose. Now, under normal circumstances...
You can't shit your pants.
Under normal circumstances, I don't know if Jay, like, maybe he's just a sniper with vomit. Like, I don't know.
Normally.
But, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him just kind of, like, hover over the toilet, and I look down, and I realize that I've learned exactly how much Jay chews his salad before swallowing.
Oh,
because
wow.
It's all over the toilet. The seat.
Oh,
inside,
God. So
back, the floor, like, everywhere. And I look up at him, and I'm like, you couldn't hit the toilet, huh? And he's like, nope! So I turn around, and I'm like, putting my hand on your cousin's phone, and I'm like, get out. Like, just go, there's nothing to see here, move along. Like,
which we can explain later why Scotty's like that, which is great, by the way.
Well, because blackmail's a terrible thing.
Yeah. Also, Scotty, just so you know, doesn't like comedy where you laugh at someone. He likes laughing with someone.
Yeah. Like the terribly awkward. Anyways, we're going to get into that. Meet the Parents is not a good comedy. It's a terrible, terrible movie. Anyways.
It is.
Yeah. So then I go and I have to start, because, like, if I don't clean this up immediately and somebody comes in and finds this, like, he's just going to be ejected right away. Those were part of the rules at the beginning that were set. So
I don't remember these rules.
And somebody had already had this happen. Like, somebody else had already puked all the way down the stairs.
Somebody puked in the urinal.
all up and down the stairs and the urinal, and they had to
really?
Be, yeah, and they were kicked out. So,
you know who it was?
No. So, anyways, I start to, like, I pull a bunch of toilet paper off, and I start to clean up the toilet. And, of course, like, Jay's still standing, hovering, and I look up at him, and I'm realizing I'm going to put myself right in the line of fire. And I look at him, I'm like, you tell me if you're going to throw up, okay? He's like, all right. I'm like, no throwing up until you tell me. Like, okay. So I start to clean it all up, and I wipe down the toilet, and everything's fine. And then we start talking in French.
For some reason. Oh. I have no idea why.
I don't know why Jay decided he was going to start talking in French, but I
It was Sal's fault.
But I said, we have to go. Said, Jason's downstairs with a cab, and you're going to need, like, where are your keys? And that's when the French started. And you're like, où est mon clé? And I'm like, oui. He's like, voici les deux. And I'm like, bon. And I'm just like, I'm like, are these for your truck? And I'm like, pour le camion? And you're like, oui, le camion!
Wow.
And I'm like, voici votre clé pour la maison. And I'm like, you know, and he's just like right along with me. And he's like, wait. I'm like, okay. So I give him his house keys. And I send him downstairs. I finish cleaning up the toilet. And he ends up going downstairs. And Lewis and Jason end up catching him and have to take him down this entirely huge staircase. Make sure he doesn't fall, twist an ankle, drag them down with him, or just otherwise kill himself or others on the way down the staircase. So Jay leaves. I end up resolving what I need to resolve with the hostess and the billing and the karaoke. And I make sure that everything else gets done okay. Steve Domaluski sticks around. I have had, at this point, literally to drink the entirety of the evening. I had 2 pints at dinner. I had 1 double gin and soda on site after a club soda. Then I proceeded to drink 2 more club sodas. Then I had 2 halves of 2 beers and 2 shots. 2 shots? 1 shot. 2 shots.
Yeah, I had more drinks getting warm on a table than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So that was what I had the whole night. Like, for me, I was quite sober the entire evening. And so I was able to, like, so I found Jay's truck. Steve told me where to go, and I drove Jay's truck home. We get home, and I show up at the house. Jeremy, after your karaoke, did you guys just, like, go home, make it to bed? Everything was okay?
Oh, yeah. I had, like, 8 scotches and, like, about a half dozen shots and a couple beers. Everyone that was with me, like, my whole room was already gone. They had, like, bailed before Jay had left and everything like that. So I was, like, literally, like, when I left everybody in front of the bar, I had to do, like, the solo walk back to my hotel room, which was fun.
Brutal.
Oh, that's really
brutal. It was so good, though. Like, I got back into the room and, like, I can't remember what was happening because I remember, like, I went into the room, then I left the room because I called my wife. And I don't remember how that went. But then I came back in the room and then I left the room. Like, it was just weird. But yeah, I was just like, oh, okay, well, I've got a good, like, 5 hours to sleep before tomorrow starts. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Good?
Yeah.
So I end up showing up and I walk in and Lewis and Jason. Steve walks home. Wherever the hell he was going. Lewis and Jason are sitting on the couch in the living room. And I'm like, so, how's he doing? Where is he? And they're like,
yeah, these fuckers.
They're like, he's upstairs in the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, is he okay? Is he puking? Is he alive? And they're like, well, we had to, like, stop a bunch of times to let him out and puke in the cab ride. And the cab driver was just like, speeding through stop signs and stoplights to try to get home because Jay was just like yelling at him and it was just like terrible. I'm like, okay. And they said, then we got home and he just flopped onto the lawn and wouldn't move. And I'm like, okay. And they said, we finally got him inside and he's like, I'm gonna puke. And so we said to him, well, Jay, you know, you should just like get into the tub and take off all your clothes so that way if you throw up on yourself...
Like these fucking rapists. Yeah, why don't you just get naked?
This way, if you throw up all over yourself, you can rinse yourself off in the shower. And I look at them both and I'm like, hold on. So what you're telling me is that right now he's lying upstairs in the shower tub naked? And they go, we actually don't know. And I'm like, God. Jesus Christ! So I'm like, all right, guys, thanks for getting him home. It's all good. Okay. And so then I'm like, knowing that I've got to go upstairs and start fucking taking care of my boy. So I go upstairs, and I'm like, Jay, are you okay? Are you naked? And you're like, no! And so I walk in, and there he is, literally with his hands in the tub, lying over the bathtub. I like, walk in and his like ass is like right there. Yeah, he's
the
like
edge of the tub,
right? Yeah, exactly.
I saw a beautiful picture of this.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So he's like just like flopped over and making noises that I didn't think human beings should be able to make. Like I literally thought that he was a rhino. Like I honestly thought he was a rhino. And he was like,
didn't he like almost throw up in the cab and then complain about there being a smelly rhino in the cab?
Yeah.
Is that the story I heard from Lewis?
Yeah. 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 So it was just like unbelievable. So I took a couple short videos of him like hunched over the toilet and trying hunched over the bathtub and like and like
what a nice friend, right?
Well, the only person that's seen them are Jay and my wife. And that's like no one else.
I think we should do a stretch goal thing for this like school that we're trying to get donations for. The more stuff that comes in, the more of these videos that get leaked out.
Oh man, that's a good idea. That is a good idea.
So we end up finally, I'm just like, he's not throwing up at the tub. Like, you're not throwing up, you're just sitting there and you're fucking drunk off your face and you're whining and you're like turn on the water. I'm like, okay. So I turn on the water and then you're like pulling on the knob and turning on the shower. And I'm like sitting in there and I'm like, what? You fucking asshole. And I'm like, anyways. So finally I was like,
and I'm like sitting.
Yeah. And I'm like, finally, I'm like, you know what? You fucking dick. If you're not going to puke here in the tub, then let's put you to bed. And you're like, no. And we're like, yes, Jay, get up. You're like, okay. Okay. So we finally get you up. And you start, like, cursing at us with numbers, and you're like, fuck off, Lewis! And all that shit, it was funny. We finally get you into your room. And this, by the way, you are, like, dead weight. This is not easy. We finally roll you onto the bed, okay? This is, of course, after we give you a bucket, and you proceed to, like, throw up from your toes. Like, from your toes. And you're like, no! It was like you were giving birth.
I felt like it.
I could not believe it. Like it was very clearly coming out from, like I thought we were performing an exorcism. If anybody had driven by, they would have for sure thought that's what was happening.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so finally we get you into the bed and you're just like, no, I want to go back to the bathroom. And you're like, four in the bathroom is better than four. Bed. And we're just like, what are you talking about? So finally we finally get you into bed. And of course, like only just roll you onto your side. There is probably no more than like 2.5 to 3 inches on the like of bed showing on the side that we've got you in. So like,
yeah, if my bed's like 5 feet tall.
If you roll over, you are certainly on your ass. Yeah. Like this is definitely happening. So we roll you over and we like have him hugging the toilet. So like he's sort of like he was on the left side of the bed if you're looking at the foot of it. We rolled him into it a little bit. So I'm sitting at the head of the bed and I've sort of like got my knees behind his shoulders so he's not going to roll back. And then on either side of the foot of the bed, we have sort of like Lewis and Jason sitting in. And so it's really funny Because, like, we have this cold cloth, and we're, like, pushing it on your head so that you're not... Because you're, like, sweating your bag off because you're, like, in a cold sweat, puking and shit. And so I'm, like, rubbing, patting
your cold... This is called alcohol poisoning, people.
Yeah, he is actually dying.
Yeah. So I'm, like, cold cloth on your head, and I'm, like, patting it on your head, and I'm, like, it's okay, Jay, it's okay. Just close your eyes. It's okay. Go to sleep. And you're, like... Scotty, I'm not well. I don't feel good.
Outweigh the needs of the few.
I'm like, I know. And I like look down, and I'm just like, I'm just gently rubbing your head, your forehead with this cloth, like all fucking tender and parental like. And Jason and Lewis are sitting down at the other end. And it was like a scene out of a fucking terrible high school flick. And I was just like, I feel like this is like a fucking teenage sleepover. This is bullshit. What the fuck are we doing here? And so finally we just sit and we're quiet and we're looking at you and you're like shivering and you're like moaning and like, and we're just fucking trying hard not to laugh at you at this point because, like, we know clearly there's nothing else that's going to come out of you. Like, nothing.
No, I don't have anything else
left. You can heave as much as you like, and it's not happening. And so we're just like, God, will you fucking sleep already? Like, please just stop. Just go. And then finally, you start snoring a little, like, rhythmically. And then we know you're actually out. And we're like, okay. So then I move slowly. You're still sleeping. I move slowly, and you're still sleeping. And so I was able to, like, pull away without you rolling back onto the floor. And so we, like, grab a bunch of pillows, and we shove them underneath you so that you, like, feel something's there so you don't – we're hopeful that you're not going to roll off the bed. Hopeful. Not sure. Hopeful. And we, like, wrap your arms around the garbage pail, and we leave you there. And that I took a picture of for posterity, and that will certainly be in the show notes. That one for sure. Because that's not really humiliating. It's kind of just like, it's cute just, in a little cute. Way. That one it's I showed. Cute. That one I showed a lot. But yeah. So that was the story. And then he passed out and went to sleep. So then finally I'm like, I look at the clock and it's like fucking 3 o'clock in the morning Calgary time. And I'm like, it's 5 o'clock for me. For fuck's sakes, this is retarded. What am I still doing here? And I go downstairs and I go to bed knowing that I have to get up in the morning and go and work the Facebook. And I'm like, oh God. So finally I go downstairs and I go to sleep and I get up at like 7, just to 7:30 or whatever, just to make sure that if you do want to get up and go to day 2, Jay, that you can get up and go to day 2.
What a boss. What a dad.
So I roll my ass out of bed.
I was ready.
You were. Yeah, you were.
I
sure.
had the coffee going. Fucking eggs on the Barbie.
And by all of that, what Jay means is that he was unconscious and drooling and otherwise not moving.
This is where you let me down, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I was like sitting there and it's like, I drug my sorry ass to day 2.
I felt so bad for Chris Cage. I fucking crushed him out of day 2 and then didn't go.
Yeah, that's bad.
But I mean, like, that's not my fault. Everybody wouldn't stop feeding me drinks. I was like, I don't have a problem. I was like, Scotty, let me get as fucking hammered as I can, but don't let me shit my pants. Don't let me get shit my pants drunk. That's the key. Because every big tournament, I used to play semi-pro paintball. Every tournament before that, like, it doesn't matter. If I have something important to do, I can get fucking hammered. I just can't get shit my pants hammered because then you're still drunk when you wake up. And that was the thing, is I basically, I think we counted it out, and I had like 15 shots in 15 minutes, and it was, every single shot was a different type of liquor.
Okay, you're exaggerating slightly about the 15 minutes. It was certainly going to be 15 shots over the span of 2 hours, though. Like, certainly.
But there was points where it was just like, I had a shot, and then two more people would buy me a shot, and then as I was turning around, somebody else was like, there you are, let's have a shot. Okay. So maybe it was 15 in 2 hours, but it was like 8 in 30 minutes and 8 in 30 minutes. Like, it was the shit, the color of the shit that was coming out of me was not something
it was
that
black.
A regular eyeball could recognize.
I forgot how to shit properly the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine you must have been messed up, but like, seriously, like, I went to the toilet and it was like, I was like a fucking rabbit. Like, there was no logs. It was just like a little bloop, 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 bloop. Like, my body was just like, we don't know what the fuck's going on anymore. You're on your own. I was so messed up the next day. So you were just trashed. Like, you were just, I woke nothing
up,
worked.
I woke up at, like, 6:30, and I went to go fucking out of the house, and I couldn't figure out why I could see perfectly. It was because these guys put me to bed with my contacts in my eyes.
I had no idea that he's got contacts. Like, none.
And I mean, what are they going to do? So they just rip my eye cornea off. Yeah. So I'm like getting ready to go, and I see Lewis going out the front door. I'm like, bye, Lewis. And then fucking, I'm like getting ready to go, and I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking shower. I don't stink. Fuck it. And then I almost get out the front door, and I'm like naked almost. Like, I just have ginch on. And then I'm like, somehow I have a moment of clarity, and I'm like, back to bed. Back to bed I go. And then Scott came up, and I'm like, oh, man, it's like 10 probably. Apparently it was like 7:30.
Yeah.
And I'm like, didn't go. And then I think Jason woke me up at like noon, and I was still fucking hammered. Like, I was like, Jason, you're going to have to drive. I'm drunk still.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was the man at a pride party.
Yeah. It was pretty insane.
It was pretty good, because like everyone's sitting there and they're like, we're missing a person. We're missing a person. And then they do like an announcement, and I'm just like, ah, you know, because I was still a little bit wasted when I woke up. Like, the hangover really didn't hit me until about like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Like,
that was the thing with me, is I've never experienced something where it goes away and then comes back. Like, I guess I've never been white girl wasted like that badly. And since I've been this old, but like, I got up at 11, and me and Jason talked for like 30 minutes. We just talked about, like, he basically just told me the story that Scott just told everybody, and then I was like, wow. And we talked about some shit, and then I was like, all right, man, like, I guess I'll get up and shower. And then I got up and I took a shit and I started to shower, and I ended up being in the shower for like 45 minutes, just like zoned. And then all of a sudden was like, oh shit, Jason's waiting for me, I should probably go because he wants to go. And then we're like leaving, and I'm like, we should probably get some food. And he's like, okay. And then we went to go get food, and I picked a terrible choice. And then I like had one bite and was just like, nope. How would I go? Like, this is going in the garbage. And then we got there, and I was like feeling like shit. So I just beelined it for the bathroom and sat in there, not shitting or puking, but just sitting there, because I don't know what was going on with my body, but I probably just didn't have anything in there to come out. And then I went out into the site, and everybody was like concerned and blah blah blah. And then I was doing okay. I was just hung over, but the longer that I lasted, the better I kind of felt. And I kept drinking like water and shit. And then all of a sudden, like, it just came back, and it was worse.
Oh, how it was terrible. Yeah, yeah. No, like, that's exactly how it was for me too, man. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like just sitting at a table, and there's the odd judge who would come up to me like, you okay, man? And I look up at him, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And that's like one point there, I'm like sitting with my EDH deck, just like goldfishing my EDH deck at like this table off all by myself. And it's like, what are you waiting for? It's like, Scotty Mac said he'd play EDH. And then it's like, I'd like take a little nap in the middle of like my, like right in the middle of like goldfishing.
Wow.
That's awesome. Are you okay, little buddy?
It was bad. Like, Peter from Face to Face was like hanging out with me, and I felt so bad because it's like, oh, I'll play some EDH with you. And then it's like, as soon as like we agree that we're gonna play some EDH, then I like just leave.
Like, scumbag school. Yeah,
I really wanted to be there and have a presence on day two, not only to play, but I also wanted to be there for like fans in case they didn't have a chance to come see me because they were playing. And I wanted to be there for Face to Face and do some like publicity for them and just be there because they like basically were the best ever.
Yeah.
And like, then I couldn't handle it. I just had to go home. Like, I was like, if I fucking die here, I will never live that down. I'm dying at home. I'm going the fuck home. And then I went home and again just sat on the toilet, not shitting and not puking, but just like making rhino noises and feeling terrible.
Yeah, so poor Jay.
Yeah. So I don't intend to get that drunk ever again.
No.
You know, that doesn't mean I want to get almost that drunk. It would have been fine if I would have gotten almost that drunk. But holy fuck. And I just remember, like, my eyeballs wouldn't focus. Like I've never been so drunk that I am cognizant that my eyes are open, but that I can't see anything. Like, I was blind. It was fucked.
That is fucked.
That is pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That's what you guys missed, Everybody who didn't come to this.
Yeah, the party was completely off the chain. And then I played in the Sunday Super Series, and you'll look for a tournament report on that next week. I just missed, and my epic punt was pretty good.
So I heard that you're not allowed to play better than Jay if you wanted to get the gig on the show. So my day two, I kind of showed up and played a few matches and didn't go. So you know what? Like I really feel like it was mostly a case of my deck being terrible, because it's like I made two errors. Like I thought about my games and I was pretty good. Like I was still just more wasted than hungover at that point. Because it still wasn't, like, very much longer after the party that we were playing Magic again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sat there and, like, literally it was just, like, one of them was, like, I made a questionable attack to get Battalion with a Mutavault, and, like, a couple turns later it would have made my, like, Fire Main Avenger. Yeah, Fire Main Avenger. That's how terrible this deck was. It would have made it a little bit better. So, like, that was kind of, like, an awkward one. And then the other one was, like, Buddy, like, goes and, like, Lightning Helix is my Mutavault, and I cast Brave the Elements just for, like, aha, I have this card. And it's like, of course, it's like, obviously the game that I don't get punished, because it's just like, next turn, it's just like, oh, I just drew another one and just, like, killed him anyway. So it was just like,
so fuck it.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck it. Like, but it was just like, I had the wonderful, like, Mull to 4, Mull to 3, like, just couldn't find the hand. And it's just like playing, like, the red green aggro deck where it's like, Mulliganing might as well just be conceding, so yeah. It was terrible, but I just like 0-3 terrible, and then wander around, and a lot of people like, are you okay? You're looking pretty pale, man. You're looking pretty pale.
Yeah.
And it's like, where's Jay Boosh, that bitch?
Yeah.
You gotta wake up in the morning, man up. You know, like I'm just
I felt bad. If I could have made it, I would have. Like I was like I said, I almost got to the GP nude.
There you go, man. Like, seriously, I would have been like, I would have loved to see how Ness handled that
one. Could you just imagine? Like, I just stumble into fucking day two.
I would have gotten a Sharpie and wrote King of the North on your chest.
Oh, somebody would have had to sign my dick. Somebody would have had to sign it.
Would they have had to hold it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's up to them. According to Scotty, I didn't have good motor skills. According to me, my motor skills were perfect. I feel like I was like the drunken master.
No.
Yeah.
So.
Nope.
Just nope that.
Just fucking nope.
So KYT, how was the wedding?
Pretty good. Not as interesting and exciting as you guys.
Did your girlfriend get white chick wasted with you?
No. Because
did you get white chick wasted? I should ask. Is
that's
she
like chocolatey wasted, man.
Is she 19 yet?
She is well beyond 19.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd ask, you know, just in case.
That's what you want your dad asking you. Is your girlfriend 19 yet?
No, 18. When they're asking you if they're 18, that's a problem. 19 is like, that's a lot.
Because the last time we drank together, she just instantly felt dizzy and went straight to the washroom to vomit, like, right away. So,
okay.
So her experience with alcohol is really bad.
Sweet, so you have a
wife is the same way. Like, she drives by a liquor store and she starts swerving. Like, she's just like, it's super lightweight. Like, I want to take her out and get her drunk. It's like, literally cost me like 72 cents. Like, it's just like, I just have to buy a couple empties and wave them under her nose.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling.
So my friend had it at like a really expensive hotel, the Ritz-Carlton. So it's one of the more expensive places to host thing here.
Yeah.
And it was pretty nice. I mean, they played once we got to the dancing, they played Gangnam Style, and I was obviously thinking of Scott.
Definitely was missing the karaoke, but it was nice to see one of my closest friends get married, and I'm going to be seeing that a lot this year and get all emotional and shit, but it's going to be sick and be waiting for the time where it'll be my turn, but it'll be a while.
Soon enough.
Sweet. Well, the show is challenging the time limit that we have from last week. So I don't want to cut it short, but I feel like we got it at some point, right?
Yeah.
So how'd you like your first episode, Jeremy?
Fuck Lansdale.
Yeah.
Gotcha, folks. Gotcha.
No, it was awesome for him to play along. So really appreciate it, Chris, if you're listening. Although I doubt you are, but you know, whatevs.
Whatever.
It's a lot of fun. I'm just like super excited for what this is going to be. I'm hoping that everyone has a good time and that I can bring some fun stuff to the table. So thanks for having me, guys. This is just awesome.
Excellent. I think that was everything. Do we have anything else, Scotty, that we needed to bring up about like maybe the raffle or anything? Or?
So there were a bunch of people that still got into the raffle. I'm still taking submissions. You guys are all outstanding.
Yeah, it's not until GP Calgary. I realize it kind of maybe sort of seemed like that.
Yeah.
But we didn't do the draw on GP Calgary. We're not doing the draw now. It's
August 10th. So you've got
a week.
You got a week to get in. And then that's the deadline, and we'll do the draw shortly thereafter.
But so since I'm on the show, am I excluded from the raffle?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
No.
That'd be sick. Like imagine he gave a lot of money and it's like, nope, you're out.
You're out.
Zero entries.
No, it's fine. You can enter. I don't care.
I love me a raffle.
What kind of crooked game is this? This is like Alex Hain designed this game.
No, listen.
Speaking of which, Alex Hain won the GP, so he better be getting some raffle tickets, that motherfucker.
he flew across the country with a bunch of my cards. Not a bunch of my cards, but a playset of lands of some sort.
What? What a piece of shit. You better raffle those off or something.
Yeah, congrats to Alex for winning. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What was actually really, really awesome, so Alex convinced me to play Sigarda over... I almost made a change in my sideboard. I almost cut the Sigarda for Azela's Conscripts. And I was really thankful that I didn't. And he gave me some good reasons and made me think about the decision, and it actually won me two very important Game 3s this week, or this weekend. So
in the X3 bracket.
No. One of them was actually to continue my 5-0 streak. In the Super Series, Dick.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
You know what? Dick. By the way, technically, Jeremy, I won more actual games of Magic than you, so suck your balls.
Suck your balls, you balls.
If I got any buys in that tournament, I would have day 2'd easily. I lost.
You had buys. You lost those.
I did not.
That's a buy.
Also, just as a callback, KYT asking what else I didn't like about Hexproof.
Yeah.
If you're not playing Dorks and Hexproof, you absolutely can't be playing Sigarda. I don't know who made that decision, but that was a fucking dumb decision.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I just basically was playing like a 13-card sideboard. Thank God I didn't get deck checked. Fuck.
You're allowed now, actually.
Yeah, you are now.
Wisdom on you there.
Oh, yeah, there you have it. There you have it. All right. Well, thanks to everybody that came out. Thanks to Sean Webster and the Saskatoon guys who were like in the finals or something. Like
one of their guys, apparently their most obnoxious guy was in the finals.
Oh yeah, everybody said they hated that guy. Yeah. So whatever, man. He made the finals and I didn't, so I can't.
And you know what? The guy obviously plays Magic like a boss. He was already on Lifebane Zombie and main deck in Jund, which is we're seeing all over the Players' Championship this week. So obviously he did something right. Unfortunately, one of those things is not a haircut. So
with your second place money, get a haircut.
You should get a haircut, Stefan. But otherwise, congratulations, man.
Otherwise, congratulations. And and thanks for especially to face-to-face games. Like I know that they're our sponsor and whatever. And like to me, they were just like a store that was great. They weren't you know, they always say like, you know, you know somebody or until you meet them, like you don't really know them. Holy fuck, the face-to-face guys are like the best people on the planet. Like on the fucking planet. Like especially Peter Sackless. That guy
Peter
man.
Is awesome.
that guy is not anything like I thought he was from emails and Twitter. Fuck, that guy is the best. The best. Peter Sackler. I would do anything for Peter Sackler. I would do anything for Sal, too, but Sal is, you know, he's no Peter Sackler, I'll tell you.
What about Eugene?
Did I meet Eugene?
No.
Yeah, fuck Eugene. I don't know. But yeah, like those guys, they're just great. They're just great human beings, and that's what we need. And so good for them. And like, I definitely, like, it's not like I wasn't already only going to face to face, but definitely, like, that's my store now. Those are my bros. Those guys, like, they put in work, man, and they're fucking great people, not to mention. So, and like I said, shout out to all the Winnipeg guys, and you know, like, fucking good luck, and thanks for coming to Calgary. Like, that was fucking sweet. Like, we needed that stuff. So,
yeah, Sean Webster yeah. specifically asked us to sign his playmat. Yeah. And I made Jeremy sign his playmat. And I promised him that someday he would be glad that he had Jeremy's signature on this playmat. I said someday it would pay off.
Oh,
Sean,
wow, smart man.
Today is that day.
Yeah. And again, super big shout out to Matt Telgen for making day two at his first GP, and ultra mega super shit, last final ever shout out ever to David, Mr. Band Teacher Zelensky.
No, you know what?
At Hugh Sutherland.
Yeah.
In Carstairs.
You also need to so a couple of others. Obviously, Ian Mann again. Unbelievable.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally.
Eve. I don't remember your last name. Yeah. Eve, the fucking tall guy with his friend Nathan, who had like the sweetest Tony Stark facial hair, but was also wearing a fedora.
Yeah.
Those guys were sweet.
Jeff Foster, obviously. Giornix on Twitter.
Yeah. But that's Blaine Lapierre.
That's right.
Fuck,
Blaine Lapierre.
That guy is the best also. And Bosu, the best. Bosu like stuck around. He was gonna leave early. No, made that motherfucker stick around.
Yep.
Yeah. And, no, just everybody. All the people I'm forgetting. I'm sorry I'm forgetting you.
So,
Dylan, you're the best.
Don't forget Jason. Tim.
Tim, little baby boy Tim.
Little baby boy Tim that we cubed with on Sunday. Yeah. Dude's actually like
he's
the stone
he's,
nut.
Yeah, he's sweet.
I came home and talked to my wife about baby Tim.
Shit.
I did.
He's also Ukrainian and loves pierogies, so we're like brothers from another mother.
Jesus. What's going on?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to leave my wife for Tim. Tim and Peter Sackless. We're going to get a bro house.
Tim's pretty cute. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you can dress him up, right? He cleans up.
Anyways, so. He's getting all blushy.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm forgetting people, but thanks to everybody.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Tom Martel, who apparently just got mugged coming home from the MTG Championships. His phone got stolen.
What?
Yep.
In Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
Now there's a story.
Holy shit. We're going to have him on next week. Fuck. That's crazy. Well, shout out to Tom Martel. Man, that sucks. All right. I got to hit the sack. It's late. I meant to go to bed a long time ago.
Ugh. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that's brutal, man.
All right. Well, Jeremy.
Yo.
Welcome to the team, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. So good, man. So good.
Yep. So with that, I guess we'll see you all next week, where we'll actually have a good show. We'll talk a little bit about the Players' Championship and whatever the fuck else we've been doing between now and then.
And, you know, because this comes out on Monday, congratulations to John Stern for winning the World Cup.
Woo! Yeah. And Reed Duke.
Doubters.
And Reed Duke for crushing the Players' Championship.
I think Shahar's got this one, man.
Fuck that kid. Listen, he's going to be so burnt out from playing Magic from Friday through Sunday. Reed is just going to sit back and be like, yep. He has so much to prove. He like went so bad last year. This year, he's just coming back. You know what? Last year was a fluke. Remember my entire list of mistakes? I learned from fucking all of them. You're out. You're all done.
Easy breezy,
you know what?
Beautiful.
See, cover. Shahar's got moxie. I heard a story about him going to a place and they did a waiter game where they split the alphabet in half and they gambled money on what the first letter of the waiter's name was going to be.
Uh-huh.
And Shahar just like sat there and said, you know what? I will trade you my M for your X. Like, okay, it's the worst thing ever, but he had Moxie. He just like, I thought it was an X. And he made the trade.
Was it an M?
No, I think it was a terrible trade, and it was just absolutely like there's no explaining why it makes any sense. But he's got Moxie.
Okay.
Kid's got Moxie.
Well,
you don't see that much these days.
You don't. You don't. Yeah. You also typically don't see Moxie as a marketable skill in a player's championship.
Correct.
That's fine. We all have to back a horse. So. All right, guys. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
See y'all next week.
Peace. Yep.